The numbers are growing on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/groundzeroradio. Hit the like button and check out what Ground Zero listeners, at least 30,000 now, all over the country, I'm talking about. 30,000 on Facebook, that is. And we have a Twitter account as well, at Clyde Lewis. And I really have a big show packed for you tonight. And once again, it's something that is near and dear to my heart, only because of the fact it scares the holy heck out of me. And I know Ukraine is the big news thing. I've done, three, four shows on Ukraine right now? Three, four? Okay. And somebody had said to me, can't remember what, I was having coffee. It was my buddy Roger or somebody, somebody who I listen to, and they kind of bring stuff up to me. He gave me a phone call, actually, the other day, and I'll share it with you in a while, what he said to me. But he brought up something that I thought was an interesting point. He said, this whole Ukraine thing, he said, it's just a little too good to be true. It's like, after I've done as many shows as I've done, we've kind of chipped away at the whole manufactured stuff that's been happening. He was telling me, he said, you know, what if all this is just manufactured and it'll all float away and go away like North Korea did? And the reason why they're doing this is because something is happening that they don't want anybody to pay attention to. This is a news story that's blocking an even more important news story. And I said, I think about that too sometimes. I'm just wondering what it is. Is the economy? I mean, I know that, we were supposed to have the economy collapse completely on March 4th. I don't know if you knew this, but it's true. I'd say let's give it a couple weeks. I'm laughing because it's frightening to think about. Anyway, just give it a couple of weeks, guys. Come on, figure it out. It's going to happen sooner or later. But you look at what's going on all around Europe, all around the world. Someday we're going to wake up and, nope, the ATM's not going to be making any more money for me. Got to print up my own. Sorry, Secret Service. I didn't mean to say that. But I'm just saying that it just seems a little odd. And we lost, a representative from Bitcoin, I guess. She committed suicide, allegedly. And so, a lot of weird things going on in the world. And so you're wondering, what is it? What is this Ukraine thing doing? Is it what kind of stories is it? Is it distracting us from the economy, distracting us from something else? The fact that all these bankers and the Bitcoin person has committed suicide, So I did some digging. And, of course, the obvious thing is the economy, right? And for the show tonight, I had a little epiphany and I wanted to share it with you. And it's an odd way to get into something, but I want to get into it because I think it's important that I get into it in this direction. I have a method to my madness by this time. I hope you understand that. But, there are many presidents that get quoted by conspiracy theorists over time. The heavy hitters are usually President Kennedy or President Eisenhower. Usually the Kennedy speech actually is always quoted. You know the one I'm talking about. It's where Kennedy was talking about the secret societies. Remember it?
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day.
And there you have it, President Kennedy, a speech that's often quoted by conspiracy theorists. After all, it is the ultimate conspiracy theorist speech, right? Talking about secret societies, censorship being censored and taken down. Eisenhower, before him, has been quoted by most conspiracy theorists as well when they want to illustrate the encroachment of the worldwide police state. And it was Eisenhower who said, "Beware the military-industrial complex."
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
And of course, people like Dick Cheney and others ignored Eisenhower and decided, hey, let's just take our matters in our own hands. Let's expand the military. Let's expand our way of being the first strike guys instead of the guys that wait for things to happen. We go and defend it. But that's not why I want to talk today. What I want to say is I want to go out of the lines a little bit. I'm going to quote a president that barely gets a mention. And that is Richard Milhouse Nixon and his inaugural address. And this is what he said that got my epiphany, that made an epiphany for me today.
Standing in this same place a third of a century ago, Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation ravaged by depression, gripped in fear. He could say, in surveying the nation's troubles, they concern, thank God, only material things. Our crisis today is in reverse. We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit, reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on earth. We are caught in war wanting peace. We're torn by division wanting unity. We see around us empty lives wanting fulfillment. We see tasks that need doing, waiting for hands to do them.
Nixon, especially the part where it says, our crisis today is in reverse. We have found ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit, reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on earth. And the reason why I picked that was because I believe that what Nixon said is kind of applying today. Sentence came to me, an epiphany of sorts, as I thought, yes, we are living in times that are reversed. The crisis we are given by the mainstream, well, that's in reverse. We don't know who to choose. We are barely holding on to the goods we produce. Our spirit is being worn down while the raucous discord continues on this planet. reaching out into space, we find at the same time the discord exists out there. And while most people are caught up with the various crises here on Earth, we're being distracted from the chaos and the real dangers that are above us happening now. I'm going to touch on those tonight as we talk about the rock and discord above the Earth. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. You are listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Our crisis today is in reverse. We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit, reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
Our crisis is in reverse. All of these things, the problems we're having are pretty much manufactured and expanded by the media. The crisis in Ukraine is an example of this. It's been convenient for the media to focus on invasions that don't exist, occupations that may be going on, perhaps reliefs of coups or whatever, and the fact that we're muscling for NATO as we park planes in Poland. But the truth is, it is a convenient distraction for what has been happening above us in the skies, and I would not be able to live with myself if I didn't tell you that we have had many, and I'm not kidding you, many cosmic close shaves that have failed to make the mainstream news. Now, I know that we get about 300 or so NEOs coming by the planet, but here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. What we have failed to learn during the Ukraine crisis is that we have had not one, but two close shaves cosmically with potentially hazardous asteroids. PHAs. There are near-Earth objects. There are PHAs. And coming up on March 11th, we have a big one that we're going to have to deal with. And it's something that, you know, I know nobody, I mean, I'm not going to shout doomsday here, or I'm not going to talk about extinction level, because that's not what you do, because, of course, you cannot, unless you're a scientist, calculate things. But what you can do is look up into the skies and say, okay, what happened today about 4:20 Eastern Standard Time? We had a huge rock, it's about 98 feet in diameter, about the size of the one that exploded over Tunguska, pass above the Earth. And I guess, I don't know if anybody felt that little wind that went by, but that's what happened, is that something passed overhead quietly without fair warning from NASA, or nothing on the mainstream news about it. You know, we're still talking about what's going on and shaking our fists and you know, doing the old saber-rattling nonsense with Ukraine. You know, and here's something that I find interesting. I was watching an interview, I think it was on Anderson Cooper. They were interviewing the scientists who were tracking. Remember last year, about February, if we had this one that came close and NASA was tracking it? All of a sudden they get a phone call and say, hey, guys, guess what? You're tracking the wrong rock, and there's something that just exploded out of Chelyabinsk. And the one scientist said to the other, well, you know how we found out about that rock at Chelyabinsk? We found out on Twitter. and that's the way it is anymore. If you want to find out from what's going on out there in space, you just have to look at your Twitter accounts if you're following, you know, space weather or something, or you have to look at your social networks, because, you know, they will let you know if we're about to be rushed with an asteroid the size of a crosstown bus, or one that's basically the size of the Rock of Gibraltar. That's the thing, is that you can get it online quicker than you can get it from the scientists. What's even more frightening about all this and these near-Earth objects, the near-Earth discord, is that these rocks, these space rocks, are called Apollo-class asteroids. These are Earth-crossing asteroids that are just a little shy of becoming potentially hazardous asteroids. They call them PHAs, for potentially hazardous asteroids. And while PHAs can be classified as such without even hitting the Earth, okay, the potential of doing so is far greater, and the asteroid cannot come any closer. If it does, then Houston, we have a major problem. Potentially hazardous asteroids are currently defined based on parameters that are based, actually, the parameter basing is on the asteroid's potential to make an absolute threatening close approach to Earth. To be specific, this means that all asteroids with an Earth minimum orbit intersection distance of about 4,650,000 miles. In worst case scenario, extinction level asteroids are considered extinction level if they're more than 60 miles wide and about 30 million miles away. But when we're looking at these potentially hazardous ones, they start looking about 4,650,000 miles. And they wonder, they start watching them to see if they're coming close. An Apollo-class asteroid, well, we had an Apollo-class asteroid pass over us on March 5th. It was 98 feet wide, and it passed within 218,000 miles of the Earth. The moon is 250,000 miles away. So this means the rock passed within 0.9 lunar distances from the Earth. It whizzed by the Earth at a speed of 32,076 miles per hour. Now, you may not know that nearly 1 year after the Chelyabinsk situation, the asteroid explosion there, another massive asteroid sailed past the Earth. The space rock, known officially as 2000 EM26, had an estimated diameter of 885 feet, roughly the equivalent of 3 football fields. However, it came within some 2,094,400 miles away. So, think about that one. Oh, and by the way, the moon got hit last week. They tracked an 800-pound space rock. It slammed into the moon at a speed of 36,600 miles per hour. It left behind a 200-foot-wide crater, and the explosion could be tracked, and it was huge on the moon. That was last week. An 800-pound space rock slammed into the moon at 36,600 miles per hour, leaving a 200-foot-wide crater and a massive explosion that was detected. And so there we have another asteroid that passed over at about 4 o'clock Eastern time today. And one passed the night before, and fireballs seen everywhere. We're back to normal, aren't we, in space? Or not. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero. You know what's interesting is right before the mini earthquakes in Puerto Rico, there were fireballs that were seen in the North Atlantic. One happened to explode near Africa. And it was interesting to talk about it because of the fact that this was around the time that we were going through the comet belt of Ison. And now it's fascinating to note that there'll be a total of two major. One was 98 feet wide, the area of 98 feet, and another one had passed over today. The other one passed. We have a number of them that are passing over, and each one that's passing over is getting closer. And it was interesting because we're not even, a whole week into March yet? And we've already had reports of 13 near-Earth objects that have a lunar distance that's below 10. You understand what that means? That means that we've got big rocks out there that are getting closer to the planet. Okay? And while we're cutting back on our military forces, and while we're stepping up our flexing muscles for NATO to get this country, Ukraine, we're avoiding the fact that we need money to somehow go into our space program. We need to start focusing on a space program. We have mothballed a space program, and we need one badly, and we need one as a space preventative. We need a way to prevent these little ones from getting past the radar and blowing things up here on planet Earth. I mean, Chelyabinsk was the first, and scientists were saying it was the first of many. But we didn't know that it was going to be the first of many in a year's time. I mean, what? Chelyabinsk had the explosion a year ago, February. We're now in March. And the story that they've been keeping under wraps, ladies and gentlemen, is the big one. The big one that's coming. And it's going to pass by the Earth in a white-knuckle affair on March 10th, March 11th. We're being told that this asteroid will pass by at 8 lunar distances away at 43,173 miles per hour. The asteroid in question is named 2014 CU-13, as in see you later 13. It has an estimated diameter, well, not really diameter, it's an estimated area of an 80-story building. Can you imagine an 80-story building? That's a bigger building than the building I'm in now, and we are a high-rise in Portland, downtown Portland. We are super high. We're one of the tall buildings in Portland, my studios. I'm on the sixth floor. We're one of the tall buildings called the PacWest Center. And what's interesting is, as I was looking at this thinking, okay, it's a big rock, and we're going to get the old, well, it's not going to hit us from NASA. We're safe. Well, we're getting a kind of, it's not going to hit us, we're safe. And it's not coming from NASA. I've been looking at the PHA of this, the PHA level, potential hazardous asteroid level. Now, here's the deal. It's been classified with an uncertainty level. And the reason why is this. Since February 11th, the asteroid has been viewed over 230 times. But there still remains a lack of information in trying to pinpoint the space rock's exact orbit. Why? In those 230 times, the rock has disappeared and reappeared and disappeared and reappeared. So they are thinking that this rock is hitting or at least colliding with other rocks. And they're wondering about the trajectory. They're wondering about the orbit. They're wondering about all of it. And they don't have as much information. Now, they'll have more information as it gets closer to the planet. But so far, we have nothing to worry about. 215,897 miles. Remember, the moon is 250,000 miles. So in space terms, it is pretty close. So due to its uncertain orbit, it could be potentially hazardous and has caught the attention of the Minor Planet Center, which is interesting. So what I'm kind of angry about and a little, you know, aggravated over is that March has already become a huge month for detecting large near-Earth space rocks, and there have been at least 13 detected so far with a lunar distance of less than 10. While the chances are slim that 2014 CU-13 will hit us, the potential for danger and once again sweeper effects should be present in an increase in fireball sightings around the world and accompanying flashes, earthquakes, and sonic booms that accompany them will be prevalent. In fact, last night, Fox News, or the Fox affiliate in California, reported this.
Flying through the air. This thing was apparently spotted from Santa Barbara all the way south to San Diego. The National Weather Service says it's most likely associated with the south towards meter that has been really active since the beginning of this month. Pretty neat to see, though.
Yeah, they always give some explanation, south towards, south. You know, there's always a meteor shower they can say we're in the middle of. But the truth of the matter is, we're getting back to that idea of sweeper effect. And I had reports, well, there was a huge fireball. And I get these reports all the time, and I'm sure that Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center gets these as well. But I saw a video. In fact, the video can be seen at groundzeromedia.org. Huge fireball seen over New Mexico. When it exploded, it was brighter than the moon. In Vancouver, Washington, it was reported that last night, small booms and bright flashes of bluish and pink light were seen flashing through the clouds. Now, some people may say that was lightning. However, witnesses claim that when the flashes happened, they said it cast such a glow that everything appeared to be in an X-ray. It had an X-ray look to it. Kind of, I don't know what that means, but they said that it was like seeing an X-ray photo of trees, X-ray photo of houses. In Yellowknife, Canada, there was a huge flash of light coming out of the Aurora Borealis. And they have video. It's amazing. Local news stations received numerous reports of bright fireballs over the West Coast, exploding sonic booms, tremors. So it looks as if, once again, we're back to the idea of sweeper rocks making their way here, and there may be a whole group of rocks that are coming at us that may become potentially hazardous. I'm saying may become, not that they will be, but may become, because I know that people are going to come back and say, you said this, that. Well, let me tell you this much. if they cannot track the trajectory of this 80-story wide asteroid, now you know things burn up, but they're saying that they don't know because it's so close, they have to classify it. And most potentially hazardous asteroids don't necessarily hit the Earth, but they do create other problems, okay? They create other problems for, like, the moon. They create problems for satellites. They create problems for a lot of things, depending on the trajectory. And this is interesting because I've never seen in a long time the uncertainty level of a rock coming toward us. So it's been a little over a year when we had two near-Earth objects pass near Earth. One exploded over Russia, causing injuries and damage. And we were awaiting the verdict on whether or not an asteroid would hit us back then. NASA assured us that the one they were tracking would make a safe pass, and it did. But they didn't count on the one that got away and exploded. This time, we have this potentially hazardous rock the size of an 80-story building that's they're having a hard time tracking effectively. And so we have to watch it. We have to keep an eye on it. And I know we get the old Earth is fine line from NASA, but you know what ticks me off is that we have to have this vigilance in space because of the fact that we decide that we want to play war. We want to play war, and we don't think about our place in the universe. We don't think about space weather. We don't think about the solar flares. We don't think about the things in space that could cause problems. We don't think about those things until we get one rock the size of an 80-story building that is having this trajectory that no one can count on because the thing is being erratic. And when that happens, you start thinking to yourself, well, what to do? You can't do anything about it. You can only watch and wait and see where it's going to pass. Now, we look at odds, okay? Odds are we got water everywhere on the planet. So if there was a chance of this thing hitting us, which is slim, it would hit the water first. Or lands that are not inhabited, because there's a lot of land that isn't inhabited on the planet. And that would happen as well. I'm saying, though, that we need somebody or some group or some organization or some gathering of people that will state to President Obama that while he decides he wants to go be a tough guy with all the war hawks over there in Ukraine and everywhere else they decide to go do their adventures, that we need someone who is focusing on outer space now. The truth is outer space is not going to be used for the war effort anymore. We got to use it for study, and we got to protect ourselves from these big rocks, and we got to protect ourselves from any other anomalies that may have a problem with this planet, including solar flares. And we live in the 21st century, and I think that we have the technology to ward off these asteroids, to ward off these meteors that may come through. And there'll be a few that slip through the cracks, but hopefully they're the ones that are shapes of basketballs and VW bugs instead of the ones that may come out of the sky the size of jumbo jets or even the size of this 80-story monstrosity that's hovering within so many lunar distances away. I mean, we could get lucky. The thing could get into our orbit. We'd have a second moon. Wouldn't that be interesting? What do we do then? It's all interesting to me, and all interesting that I need to report this, but my question to you is, do you think our government should stop for one moment and have a meeting, an emergency meeting, to discuss whether or not they should set aside more money towards space programs, space efforts, and investigations and protection than putting all our money towards fake terrorism and fake crises where countries are dealing with their own problems? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm sure the money would be well spent in creating some sort of a shield to protect us from space rocks and any other anomalies from the sky. What do you think? 888-673-3700. We'll be back. I remember I was told once a story that Wernher von Braun had said that in the future, we would be told that a huge asteroid or something is coming our way, and they would immediately stop their wars and stop whatever they're doing, and they would meet about it. And I'm beginning to wonder if they would. And it seems to me that, I guess, the idea of a space rock coming toward us is not as glamorous as criticizing Putin or talking about, you know, whether or not we should go in and blow people up and start fighting wars. But here's the deal. It's exactly kind of a reverse type of thought process, which takes me back once again to that moment when Kennedy made a statement about how we fall into raucous discord as we reach for the stars.
Our crisis today is in reverse. We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit, reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
And the raucous discord on Earth is the same as the raucous discord above us. You've heard the old phrase, as above, so below. This is it, as above, so below. The chaos down here, the chaos up there. And as I said before, for the first time I was looking over this, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that will educate me and say, oh, you're just much ado about nothing. But look, when you're looking at a rock that has the area of a 80-story building, and I'm sitting in a building that has maybe, what, 25 floors? 29 floors. Thank you. 29 floors. That's not 80 stories. So we're looking at a bigger building than that, right? And it's like, you know, traveling through space and everything else, and they tell you that, you know, well, NASA gets all concerned when an extinction level one comes at you at about 60 miles wide and 30 million miles away. Okay. I mean, that's their criteria for extinction level. 60 mile wide, hurtling at us at, you know, wonderful, remarkable, over the top speed. And you look at what's been happening in the past few days. I mean, I don't know if you can get a chance to do this. Maybe in the break, I'll be putting these videos up on my Facebook page for those of you that want easy access. But man, watching the moon and having a big old rock hit it and have it go boom and you see the explosion. That's a come to Jesus meeting type of explosion, in my opinion. I mean, it hit the moon. And you know, and this what? A Siding Spring comet? You heard about Siding Spring, right? Supposed to hit Mars. I think it's supposed to do it this year. Yeah, spring? Yeah, close. Set the clocks ahead. Mars gets hit by a boom, a nice comet. I mean, there's action, Jackson, in space. And what are we doing? Oh, we're just waiting around to see if old Putin's going to blink or Obama's going to blink or whether or not John Kerry is going to just keel over because he's so excited that there's going to be a war. I don't know. But I just know that when I'm looking over the data, and I know I'm not a scientist. I know I'm just a stupid talk show host who has a show who talks about this stuff. When I'm reading about a big rock that's supposed to be coming towards us, CU-13, see you later, 13, 2014, CU-13, as a PHA, okay? And I had to look up what PHA meant. Potentially hazardous asteroid. PHA. Why? They've been watching it, and it keeps disappearing and reappearing. What is that? That's telling them that either it's hitting into things or it's got a bad, bad, bad orbit, and they can't calculate the trajectory. And they have until what? Monday to figure it out. Interesting. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Do you think there should be a meeting about this? Do you think that you think they're using this Ukraine thing as a huge distraction from what may be a possible interesting effect in space? The fireballs are already being detected. They're heralding this big one coming forward. We had one pass by today at about 4:20 some odd Eastern time, and that was interesting. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Keep it here. So for those of you who are listening online, and those of you who are following the show in sequence, I know a lot of you probably don't. A lot of you don't get the show in sequence, which is interesting, and that's because of programming situations or whatever. But those of you that don't know, we're actually right now our focus is on an asteroid. It's called 2014 CU-13. It's a potentially hazardous asteroid that is right now. They're trying to track the orbit. They're having a hard time, difficult, so they have to give it an uncertainty thing because it's going to do a close brush with the Earth March 10th, March 11th, around that time. And I was looking at the classification for the thing, and it's 80 stories wide and And it's going to be pretty close, 200 and I think it's like 219,000 miles, which is a little less than the moon. And that's a close shave for this planet. And what's interesting is that today there was a 98-foot wide asteroid that passed by the Earth. It was being tracked. And there was one before it the night before that passed by. And we get the after news. Hey, it passed by. You know, the close call happened. Instead of telling us beforehand, they tell us after the fact. And then as I'm looking through those two rocks and trying to track them and follow them, I get this word about an 80-story wide asteroid that is out there. And they're saying, well, you know, it's a PHA. It's potentially hazardous, but it won't hit the Earth. But it could do some damage to other things like, you know, the moon or something else. Who knows? We don't know. We can't track it. We've monitored about 230 times. It disappears. It goes away. And so once again, we go through the entire scenario again of what I call the sweeper effect, where we start seeing huge fireballs, hearing explosions, flashes of light. This was last night in California.
Flying through the air, this thing was apparently spotted from Santa Barbara all the way south to San Diego. The National Weather Service says it's most likely associated with the South Torrids meter that has been really active since the beginning of this month. Pretty neat to see, though.
And this was 6 minutes ago. I received a video from a listener named Christian, and listen to the audio of this.
How's it going?
Hey, bro, how you feeling?
Pretty good. You guys been on the 40 for a little while? You guys see anything up in the sky the last 30 minutes?
Oh, some lights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what that was?
No. I thought it was lightning.
We thought it was lightning until we saw, like, the flashes.
Yeah.
We thought it was, like...
Well, I caught it on camera.
All right, so I shared that video of what the guy caught on camera, and he's asked me what I make of it. I don't know what to make of it. It's a bright light in the back that he caught, and then he still framed it so you could see it up close. And then he asked the guys, I don't know, I think he's at a hamburger place or something. He's basically asking some guys if they saw the lights. They said, yeah, we saw the lights. He was on the 40, he says, and he saw the lights. And so that was just a few minutes ago. Now, I get this from a very trusted source who listens to Ground Zero, and I know of where he works, and I know that he sends me things from time to time, and he calls himself Heisenberg. Kind of looks like Heisenberg in a way. This is what he said to me tonight. He said, do not be surprised to hear about more lunar impacts in this coming month. Last week we had a lunar impact. We had a 800 and some odd pound meteor hit the moon and caused a 200-foot crater when it hit, slammed into the moon. They got the video footage all over the internet if you want to see it. But he says, don't be surprised to hear about more lunar impacts in this coming month. Information is released at very convenient times to distract from current terrestrial events. For your information, Clyde, don't be surprised to even learn of impacts on Mars. This will have already been old news kept from the public for later distraction. I can assure you that these events have already occurred. But as usual, you didn't hear it from me. So the question I have is, here we are fighting our little wars and getting all angry about what's going on here on Earth. But do we think that maybe it's about time for these guys to grow the hell up and realize that we live in a very violent solar system and that rocks are heading towards us and that we need something, a little bit more money paid into a space program that may find ways to somehow deflect asteroids, or some sort of a program that we can protect ourselves from any bombardment or impacts. Now, that won't guarantee that little ones won't get through sometimes and pop and explode like they did at Chelyabinsk. But come on, guys, you know you're leaving it up to the astronomers, the amateur astronomers who basically send the messages to these big scientists that are getting paid loads of money to tell us all about global warming. And telling us that we're all deniers and we need to shut up. Well, guys, look, it's not global warming. It's coming at us, right? And yet we're told, oh, you know, global warming, blah, 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 blah. Ukraine, blah, 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 blah. Another crisis in Africa, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, we have crisis in space. We have people that aren't being informed of what's passing overhead. I had a friend of mine, Roger, called me up and he said, and he was mad. He said, what the hell? And I said, what are you talking about? He says, I know you're reporting about the Ukraine, but what the hell? And I said, what are you talking about? And he says, dude, says NASA tells us after the fact that we get a close brush with an asteroid, and then another one's coming today at 4-some-odd Eastern time. And he says, and another one's coming at us, and this one's 80 stories wide, and they can't figure out if the trajectory is going to hit Earth or hit something else. So it's a potentially hazardous asteroid. He says, damn. He says, what is it with our government? What is it with NASA? Why don't we have a space program? And I said, you know what? I feel your pain and I understand this. I understand it, but I don't know if the listeners are ready to hear about it, because I don't know if the listeners are willing to do the dialogue and talk about this. And maybe someone out there will pay attention and realize that, yes, we do need more money set aside for a space program that the President Obama is literally abandoned. Now, why is he abandoning space when we have all kinds of space activity going on, from solar flares to these huge rocks that they can't necessarily detect or otherwise track because their orbits are erratic? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We go to Jack in Kentucky. Listening on WTAM. You're on Ground Zero.
Good evening, Clyde. This is Jack from Kentucky. I have papers from Cornell University that the moon is deviated 10 degrees in its eccentricity. And there is something that's bringing all these rocks, asteroids, and what have you into our solar system in this fashion. You were speaking about this rock that was disappearing and appearing again. I don't know if it's a Copernican orbit or hyperbolic orbit or what orbit's it in, but the radius of action of Earth is 750,000 miles, and I've done some calculations. If this thing was to go lower than 17,000 miles an hour, the Earth would capture it. So I'm of the opinion, and I get to thinking a lot. Of course, I'm a very conservative religious man, and mm-hmm. You remember in Revelation 8 that it spoke of something that would have John saw the mountain burning as fire. And I remember in college, Dr. Robson said that the Revelation 17, 11, 17, and 18 are insets, not necessarily following a chronological progression. So this first time caller, but I just wanted to add that.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing that you're adding that, because let me tell you a little something about 2014 CU-13. As I said, it has an area of an 80-story building. I'm having a hard time imagining that because I'm not in an 80-story building, but I am in a very tall building. It's 8 lunar distances away right now. It's moving at 43,173 miles per hour. And as you said, if it does slow down in orbit because it's an erratic orbit, it could be caught in the Earth's gravity. We could have a second moon. That's something that we could consider a second moon.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, I'm looking, and we were discussing this. I was discussing this with someone who knew more than I did about these things. And he said, yeah, like you said, if this thing is having an erratic orbit, if it's like bouncing off of other things like a cue ball on a pool table, and they're watching it like bounce around in space, it disappears, it reappears, because they've seen it like 230 times. And there are sometimes when they look and it's not there, sometimes they, oh, there it is. And that could mean that it's passing through even bigger bodies, bouncing off of those. But if it slows down in its move towards wherever it is, I mean, we're looking at what, 215,897 miles with the moon being at anywhere between 250,000 miles, then if it slowed down its trajectory or slowed down its speed, yes, it would be caught in the Earth's orbit. We'd have a second moon.
Well, we could, but eventually its orbit would, as small as it is, its orbit would deteriorate.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But again, there is something that's bringing these objects into our solar system. And you spoke of global warming. Right? And I'm not saying that we don't aggravate the situation. I'm not saying that. But all the planets are heating up. Yeah. I've got two big scopes. And Mars is heating. Matter of fact, it was warmer on Mars this winter than it was in some places on the Earth.
So you have telescopes. Did you get a chance to catch the one that passed over today?
No, we have we've got cloud cover here,
right?
And in Kentucky, we just went through a major storm down here.
Okay. Well, you know, that's the thing is that the cloud cover is going to block a lot of this. I realize, But some people are seeing the lights and a lot of explosions and a lot of things. I had reports from New Mexico, Vancouver, that's Vancouver, Washington, Canada, and let's see, the West Coast. And now somebody sent me a video of a light that they saw. They were trying to find out what it was. Amazing times tonight. If anybody's seeing anything, please let us know. Jack, thank you for calling tonight. Yeah, I mean, if you're hearing booms or you're seeing flashing lights or you're seeing, you know, fireballs, you know, this may be a night for it if they're sweeping through, and it will peak around the 16th because it's not going to be over once they pass over. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I think money should be set aside for a warning system, and we got to get used to it. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
So I just got this from an informant that I have in Puerto Rico. It happened about 6 o'clock local time, Puerto Rico. That would probably be East Coast time. 5.1 earthquake happened northwest of Puerto Rico. Now, here's the deal about this earthquake. The entire area of the islands in Puerto Rico have had 465 aftershocks after the earthquakes of January 13th. Now, if you may recall, January 12th, actually, there was a fireball that was sighted on January 2nd. A number of other fireballs, I think about 6 fireballs, were seen on the East Coast and the North Atlantic. And after that, there was an earthquake in Puerto Rico on January 13th. Now they've had 465 aftershocks, and then another one today, about 86.68 kilometers northwest of Desequio, 125.78 kilometers northwest of Mayagüez. And this is an island, I think, or what is it, Mayagüez? It's basically the northern fault zone that there's no report of a tsunami, any tsunamis, but they're saying it was a pretty major earthquake there. And so you're not going to hear about that as we're focusing on what's going on with Ukraine. But we do have a few things that are kind of interesting and out of the ordinary with regard to the passing of these fireballs and the passing of these asteroids. Let's go down to Mike in Colorado listening on KRDO. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. I'm concerned, as you are, about the unknown status. I think that it's incredibly easy to predict the new course if it's bouncing off stuff and being obscured by things. It doesn't take a heck of a lot of time to reacquire and predict fairly accurately where it's going to hit, when it's going to hit, how far away. So the fact that it's unknown is very interesting.
Well, its potentiality for hazardous, being a hazardous asteroid is unknown. It's unclassified as its hazard because of
it's an 80-story building. That's kind of a given.
Well,
it's the San Andreas.
Let me tell you, PHAs. I was doing some research on PHAs because I want to know what PHAs meant. Potentially hazardous asteroids do not necessarily hit the Earth, okay? But they do have a potential of hitting other things near the Earth or somehow causing some definite cosmic tinkering or I guess you could call it havoc in space because they're coming this close. Now, as I said before, just to put a stress on this, 230 times they've seen this thing. And they've lost it several times, which basically tells them, well, we cannot get a fix on it yet. Probably in the next few days they'll get a fix, and it'll probably be, hopefully, all clear. We don't have to worry. But it is coming pretty darn close. I mean, when you're looking at something that's coming closer to us than the moon is, I mean, 215,897 miles moving at about 43,000 miles, a little over 43,000 miles per hour. You know, you got to be able to be a good mathematician to figure this out. And I was saying to myself the other night, I don't think there are enough men with mathematics and T-squares and compasses to even figure this out. And it's happening so fast. We've had already 2 pass by, 1 yesterday, 1 tonight, and now this big one coming in the next few days. I'm thinking there's more out there, and I'm thinking I'm getting videos now of people seeing lights, showing them to me, sending them to me. I got the situation in California. I got videos of what happened in Yellowknife, Canada. I mean, this is happening now. This is real time.
You were wondering if your listeners were ready for this. Well, this listener is, and I'm not alone. And there's a lot of us that are tired of spoon-fed information and disinformation and withheld information. And, I mean, this stuff doesn't care if you're Democrat or Republican or who the hell, Russian, American.
That's just the point. So, you're just so brilliant. It's true.
I don't think that this administration is capable of getting back to reality enough.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. Today I was on a radio show, and I was getting lulled into a Democratic and Republican debate because of CPAC. You know, they have the CPAC thing going on. And one of the guys commented, it's the Disneyland of conservative meetings. And I said to the guy, I said, oh, so does that mean that John McCain's going to wear the Mickey Mouse suit, or is it going to be Lindsey Graham or Mike Rogers or any of the other bozos that are out there trying to get us to fight with Russia? I said, this is getting a little weird, you know, and I said, there are more things to worry about that don't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. It's stuff about space and space weather and solar flares, EMPs, and asteroids. And they go, oh, well, moving on to other things that are more important, like Ukraine. I'm going, okay, yeah. Thanks, guys. Love you, too.
That is getting tedious for a lot of us.
Believe me, it got tedious for me, too.
Of people who perceive us and prefer us to be stupid. we really would like to know stuff. Wow, imagine that.
Know and think about stuff, don't you think, Mike? We need to think about stuff.
No, we can't do that. Not think.
No, we can't think. It's not good for us. Don't think. It's dangerous.
No, just watch what they program us to watch, and if it's not on the schedule, then space asteroids are going to have to wait. I mean,
yeah,
and that's unfortunate given the extreme. I wanted to end with a question as far as exactly how much debris and tectonic events can that possibly kick up.
Now that's the question. That's the question. We could have a rash of earthquakes happening in the next few days because of this thing. And you know what happens? When we talked to Dave Talbot, he said the electromagnetic disturbances could cause some interesting geomagnetic affairs. We have to pay attention to that too. Mike, thank you for the call. That's a great thing to bring up. Yeah, geomagnetics. What's this thing going to do? Is it going to
cause a great disturbance in the force?
No. We'll be back.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
York says he was just driving along Route 26 in South Paris Saturday afternoon about 5 o'clock when he noticed what looked like a fireball in the sky. He grabbed his mobile phone and started recording.
And NASA is downplaying a rather alarming report about a possible asteroid strike on Earth.
The idea that an asteroid could hit the Earth one day, NASA has a very serious proposal. Why not go into space and try to capture one?
Boom, 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 boom! Gotta shoot your eye down!
I'm going to blow up the Earth.
What is your pick tonight's day for it?
My screen's full. They're all over the place.
Mokies are breaching the atmosphere from Finland down the North American seaboard.
Clyde Lewis, You are listening to Ground Zero. This breaking from RIA Novosti, Moscow. This morning, an explosion of unclear origin illuminated the sky over eastern Siberia, leaving frightened locals to speculate about an asteroid or malfunctioning rocketry, media reports have said. The blast, for which no official explanation has been offered, was witnessed by the population of the Kurgadai village in Russia's Yakutia region, the Vesti14.ru news website said. Two extremely grainy videos from surveillance cameras documenting the alleged blast, or at least a bright flash in the sky, are now available on YouTube. We'll try and find those and post them on the Facebook page. Reports said that some debris apparently plummeted into the taiga after the explosion, but nothing had been recovered by the time of this publication. Locals speculated that an asteroid, landing module from the International Space Station, or even a stray ballistic missile were responsible for the blast. According to schedules, no man-made rocketry was publicly scheduled to fly over Yakutia, but the area has been hit by debris from Russian carrier rockets at least four times in the past. But they're saying now it's looking as if we have some interesting... Oh, I found the video. Hold on. It didn't show much, but it certainly looks very bright. Said that there was also a blast that was reported Tuesday in the western Siberian city of, I got to learn Russian because I'm having a hard time speaking, Nizhnerutovsk. Authorities said no explanation there. And then the locals, of course, were joking that the aliens were landing. So there you go. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. It started again. I feel like I'm reliving the February 14th episode of 2013. Chelyabinsk. Now we have Siberia again having explosions and meteors. 888-673-3700. We go to Catherine in Ohio. You're on Ground Zero, WKVN.
Yes, hi. Good evening, Clyde. Real interesting Tuesday night. I didn't think much about this. I live in a very rural area where it's absolutely pitch dark. And about 7:30 in the evening, my brother and I did see one of these fireballs.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think, Clyde, that there's something going on that they're just not telling us about, okay? They know something. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're not saying much is because of the panic, perhaps. And I kind of just think something's going on. Our president's going to be meeting with the Pope, if I'm not mistaken, like the latter part of March or April.
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm. And there was speculation as to whether or not they were going to meet with regards to what's happening up in space. That was what I was told.
Well, that's what I think, too. And I just, like, over the last year, if you just connect the dots between incidences that have been happening on our planet, it doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure out that there's something out there that they're not telling us about. Plus, on December 28th of this year, our sun's magnetic field flipped. Now, let's just do a hypothetical here, Clyde. If there is a larger object coming our way, what's that going to do and affect our planet, considering that the sun's magnetic field has just changed?
Well, see, that's
the
thing.
Going with it?
Well, that's another thing. You're very brilliant, and I'll tell you why. Because solar wind coming,
correct,
solar wind coming from the sun, that's the wind that accompanies the, it's a magnetic wind coming from the sun, changes, and it can blow asteroids in certain directions, and either out of trajectory or into trajectory. So they do have an effect on asteroids and rocks in space, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I just, I'm astounded that no one's even talking about this much, and I really appreciate you bringing this live on the air. And I kind of think, who's to say that the war deal isn't just like, kind of like a distraction?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is really, Clyde, a greater threat than the war could ever be for any of us.
Well,
and
yes.
What's it going to take?
What's it going to take?
What's it going to take, Clyde? A big hit for them to finally realize that they need to be doing something to protect us,
Well, when Russia got hit last year, they had plans that they wanted to go in and try to harness some of the asteroids and push them out of the trajectory of the Earth. And I just, by the way, for those of you that go to my Facebook page, I just posted what has just come out of that area in Siberia with that exploding meteor. The video, it's in Russian, but it doesn't matter. Meteors don't speak Russian, and the flashes of light don't speak Russian, but it's really kind of an eerie, as I said, like in Vancouver, Catherine, Vancouver, Washington, where they said the explosion kind of made everything look like an X-ray. And it's the same thing I'm seeing with this video. It looks like when it flashes, it looks like everything turns into like a pale white, kind of like a nuclear explosion's gone off.
Come to think of it, that's exactly what my brother and I witnessed too with a fireball. It was like the color of fire, but then after it was like the whole area was just for a few seconds washed in this white light.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you.
It's amazing, and isn't it?
I have been interested in astronomy since I was very young, okay, and I'm an old lady now, but I didn't see anything ever like that before. We live in some really scary times now, Clyde.
Scary times and fun times. I wouldn't trade it for the world myself. I think it's, as long as I'm alive to witness it and I can survive, I'm okay. But in the meantime, yeah, it can be a white-knuckle affair, and it's very fascinating to see how we're reacting to it. And the fact that there's a lot of no reaction and a lot of saber-rattling and muscle flexing over pieces of land that could be hit by asteroids. And like the last caller said, asteroids are not respecters of people. They don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, black, white, gay, straight. They don't matter. We're human beings at this point, and we need to be aware if anything may be out there that may explode over our cities or may cause some problems for us in the future. And I just think it's sad that we focus our attention on politics and make superstars out of morons, and yet we have people out there that we need to put our money towards space travel, space protection, and safeguard so that we won't end up like the dinosaurs.
Yeah, but the thing is, too, they're talking about, oh, it's a safe hit, like, because we have more water than landmass. Well, okay, one of these big objects, if they hit the water, can you even begin to imagine how that possibly could affect our weather?
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about that.
Well, imagine if that 80-story-wide asteroid that we're watching right now that's out there comes into the Earth's atmosphere, breaks up as it comes into little pieces, and we've got little pieces of this thing that are about the size of a 747, you know, jumbo jet, hitting the planet about 30,000 miles an hour, maybe hitting the ocean. I can imagine the waves that would cause, huge waves, and it could cause tsunamis, just huge tsunamis.
I just have this terrible feeling that there is something more, and they're just not telling us. It's better to have the news stories about the war and the stories that don't matter. But to me, this is right now the most important story that you possibly could even be talking about. And I want to thank you very much for always talking about the topics that other people do not want to touch, Clyde.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for being a listener to my program. I'm proud. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Les in Oklahoma, KFAQ. Go ahead.
How you doing, Clyde?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Very beautiful right here. I'm looking at a sliver of a moon tonight with no haze, no nothing. It's beautiful tonight.
I bet it is.
Hey, my question for you is extrapolation. It is. Now, if we're looking at a rock coming in, and we're looking in a telescope, and you see it, and it disappears, and then you see it, and it disappears. It's like the sunset. 7 minutes after the sun goes down, we're still looking at the sunlight. It's time versus light. Now, we're talking about chasing something 300 million miles away or whatever.
No, we're not. It's not 300 million miles away. It's closer to us than the moon, and it doesn't produce light. It's an asteroid.
Okay, at the beginning, though, when we see it, okay, when we see it,
it doesn't produce light.
By the time, okay, it has reflection.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. But by the time we see it, and then by the time we determine how far out it is, how far has it traveled before we actually get a speck of light on it, see it, and how far has it traveled before we can determine where it's at or where it was,
mm-hmm,
versus where it's at now. Now, we're talking about sending, let's say, all of the movies that they've made about maybe strapping a rocket on it and moving it out of the atmosphere or blowing it up or cutting it in half or all those theories that, you know, that the ideas of blowing it up or whatever. How can we chase it down and decide that we could do all this before it travels from where we first saw it, before we can catch it, before it gets into our atmosphere, before it actually makes contact with the Earth or the moon?
Well, that's the thing. You know, at the moment, we have no way of doing this unless we have some emergency that has to be done. There's a point with the potentially hazardous asteroid where it can't get any closer before someone has to send the message that it's too close. And as I said before, what we're looking at with this 80-story thing is not an extinction-level rock. I mean, extinction level would be 60 miles wide or greater.
Right.
This isn't 60 miles wide. And it'd have to be at least 30 million miles. You know, if it's 30 million miles, as close as 30 million miles, they would be concerned about it. But right now we're looking at something that's only 215,000 miles away. It's the size of an 80-story building. And if you are missing something that's that big, it disappears and reappears. It means that perhaps they're saying it's ducking behind other rocks or it's ducking behind other places. It could hit the moon, it could hit something else, or it could collide with something else and go off trajectory. So that's why it's a potentially hazardous asteroid.
And my question would be, if it's ducking behind something and we're not seeing what's in front of it, whatever it's ducking behind, we're actually not seeing what it's ducking behind?
No, we're not, because it's like a snooker game. We're seeing a snooker game happening in space, and eventually they'll get an idea, but we're hoping they get it in time so they can tell us which way it's going and whether it's going to hit into something that may affect us, like a satellite or the moon. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Traffic reports on the 7s. Zombie reports as needed with Clyde Lewis. FM News 101 KXL.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
And now let's go to Tyler calling in from Illinois tonight. Hi, Tyler. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
I was just calling in. I'm a commercial airline pilot. I've been flying commercially now with the airlines for about 4 years. And overall flying just about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed, you know, over the last year that I've had two close calls with pretty substantial rock falling out of the sky. And people that have flown with that have been flying their entire lives. These things have never happened to them throughout their entire careers. And it's pretty odd to see this stuff happening on a more frequent basis.
You're right up there, too. You'll be able to, you know, they're coming in and... My gosh, how close would you say these fireballs have come to you in your time?
You know, up at the upper altitudes, it's kind of hard to judge the distance and stuff, but I'd say anywhere between 10, 15, 20 miles.
Wow.
It's enough late at night. You know, we fly with the cockpit pretty much completely blacked out so we can see the other airplanes out there. But we've gotten close enough to a couple of them that it literally lit up the entire cockpit to the point where it was almost as if you were flying through a thunderstorm and lightning struck.
Was there any concussion types of explosions or sonic booms or thunder from those?
From flying, you really can't tell. I mean, we're going through the air so fast that it's just pretty instantaneous. But no turbulence or anything like that off of it. The one of the ones that I have seen that was over the skies of Arizona, we were on top of a cloud layer that went through, and it actually, the rock itself lit up, illuminated the entire tops of the clouds. And my jet, as well as probably five or six other airliners, we all reported it to ATC. And never really heard anything back from the FAA on it.
What was the response? So the FAA did not respond to the huge fireballs that came close to the planes?
No, I actually made the first report to air traffic control, and they just started trying to triangulate where it was based on our position and other aircraft around that asked for it. And then they're all asking us if we could actually see any impact in the ground, but of course we couldn't with the overcast sky.
Right.
But other than that, there was no other follow-ups the FAA never tried to make contact with any of us on that.
Do you feel helpless when you see those fireballs when you're in the plane?
What is that?
I said, do you feel helpless or a sense of helplessness when you see those fireballs when you're flying in the plane?
Oh, yeah, because there's absolutely no way that we'll know where they're at and when they're coming. And like I said, the times that it's both happened to me, I've made reports to air traffic control. They don't even see that stuff on the radar. It happens so fast.
Now, I remember there was a fireball that was seen over Portland, Oregon, and it wasn't detected until 30,000 feet. So they didn't detect it, or they didn't. All they saw was the trail that it left. But at 30,000 feet, it just showed up out of nowhere and exploded. So they didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's like I said anymore. It seems like, I mean, these are people I've flown with that have been doing this for their whole careers, and we've never seen this stuff. And just this last year, it seems to be more frequent.
Right. And they always,
there's something bigger out there that might have been. We're getting the spare parts off of the main piece that's moving this way.
Yeah, that's what it feels like too. Tyler, thank you for your call, and thank you so much for your insight, being a pilot and letting us know that there is an increase of the fireball reports and that planes are now coming close to them, maybe 10 or 15 miles away. That's very frightening.
Yeah, have a good night.
You too. You bet. Man. Imagine being a pilot with all those souls on board. You're flying them to their destination, and then 15 miles in front of you, it's a huge explosion. It's a fireball, and you're afraid you may fly right into it. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Is there something bigger out there? Are we seeing the pieces of it coming towards us? They're saying an 80-story wide asteroid is actually coming close. We'll have a close shave with it coming up on March 10th, March 11th. And they're trying to track it. But right now it's classified as a potentially hazardous asteroid. And back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero. I wanted to give a report about the 98-foot diameter asteroid that we were talking about earlier. It passed 216,000 miles from Earth. And then 1 hour and 22 minutes later, it passed about 233,000 miles from the moon. There's no threat this time, but they're saying it comes back around March 4th, 2046. Now we got a big one coming at us. It's CU-13. 2014 CU-13. You can do the research on it if you want to. Just make sure that I'm not just saying it, that this isn't a huge rock that they're trying to detect, trying to find. They found it February 11th. But they've been monitoring it, caught it like 230 times, and then they said that now they've lost it, they've found it, they've lost it, they found it. So they're wondering if it's like having an erratic orbit or if it's like hitting into things. If so, it's potentially hazardous because they cannot classify it as safe yet. And they will eventually. I'm sure that it will be fine. But right now, it's in a state of uncertainty. But what's interesting is that tonight, I have received video of not only a light in the sky that a driver had taken and got out of his car to find out what he saw and what everybody else saw, but reports of flashes of light. There was a massive fireball scene in California last night. And then I just posted on my Facebook page, and this is just amazing here, a grainy surveillance video that another huge asteroid exploding over Siberia. And what's odd is the video demonstrates exactly what I was told happened in Vancouver, Washington last night, where there were explosions heard, and there were actually flashes of light, pink, blue, and just a number of flashes that people said they saw. It was cloudy because we've been having rain here in the Northwest. And apparently they said that everything looked like an X-ray, like what an X-ray machine would put out, X-ray photos. And so what we got is the same type of video, but this time in Russia. And it's amazing. People are commenting on it right now on my Facebook page. That's facebook.com/groundzeroradio. Facebook.com. In fact, there's a guy by the name of Valentin Elanis who has tried to give a translation. So this morning, residents of Yakutia have seen an explosion in the sky. And the next flash, an unexplained phenomenon, could be observed in the village of Ulis Kyrgyde, Viliu, and neighboring settlements, Naselga. Surveillance cameras recorded the incident. It was newsru.com. News of Yakutia claimed that the territory fell something. They're thinking it was a nose cone of some flying machine resembling a rocket or perhaps a huge asteroid exploding over the area. According to the Russian Federal Space Agency, the current crew of the International Space Station is in orbit, and they may have thought that something had fallen off the International Space Station. However, nothing was scheduled to fly over the area of Yakutia. And so they have to determine that it was a huge explosion from a space rock, just like what happened at Chelyabinsk a little over a year ago. And so now here we are again. It's the same type of feeling I had when I did that broadcast on the 14th of February, where they were tracking one asteroid, another one exploded over Chelyabinsk, and that caused a lot of damage and a lot of injuries. So the question I have is we're sitting here and we're watching the mainstream, and they're reporting a number of things that about Ukraine, a number of things about the flexing, the saber rattling, and the rhetoric. While there are things that out there in space that are no respecters of borders, or whether or not you're Ukrainian or Russian, or whether or not you're Nazi or communist, or black, white, red, green, gay, straight, transgender, or whatever, it doesn't matter. We're citizens on this rock, and we have rocks coming at us, and we have no money set aside to protect us. We have taken that money, we put it towards war efforts and to support radicals in Ukraine. When that money could be used to upgrade computers, put towards a space program where we can protect ourselves, I'm getting to a point where I'm thinking that they just don't care. They'd much rather put their money towards the military-industrial complex, much rather put their money towards being the safe guardian and the militaristic arm of NATO and the Western European Union, rather than protecting us from any space threats. And here we are now, once again, a year later, in this cycle where we're seeing huge rocks coming down, exploding over major areas. You heard the pilot calling the program, Tyler, saying that there have been many aircraft. I mean, he's flown commercially for about 6 or 7 years. Many aircraft now coming within 10 to 15 miles of huge fireballs in the skies. So what are we going to do about it? I mean, are we going to notify people? I mean, what are they going to do? I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're just going to let it happen. Because we're not putting any money towards space and protection. And I think it needs to be done as soon as possible. Let's go to Dan in Tennessee. Let's go on WTAM. You're on Ground Zero.
Thank you very much, Clyde. It's worth the wait. I'd like to get three things out for you. I hope you don't cut me off. About 20 years ago, I held in my hand a government document that somebody told me that worked in the space program and for NASA at the Cape. And in essence, that document said that the United States, through the United Nations, got Europe, and all the European nations and Russia, all the big powers that be, to sign an agreement that they would not tell the public at all if there was anything even resembling an ELE, and that they would keep this secret no matter what. They might, they said they might announce it after the rock passes. Number two, when I was reading that document on the air, I had two people I'd never seen in my life nor since walk in the control room and take that 23 pages away from me and walk out of the station, and I've never seen them since.
Now, this is when you were doing you were doing your radio show in Tennessee.
In Salt Lake.
Oh, you were in Salt Lake City? Okay, so you were in Salt Lake City. What radio station in Salt Lake?
It was the FM America, sir.
Okay, FM America in Salt Lake City. Okay.
I've talked with you before. Okay.
Okay, sure.
Now, Mount Weather in Western Virginia has a certain hotel there. Underneath that hotel, now for a number of years, is enough bunks, storage of water, laundry, air conditioning, whatever you need. They can put the entire government underground. They have a protection. They have a fallout shelter, I'll call it that, to protect us from any kind of rock hit, tsunami, or otherwise coming in from the ocean or direct land hit and crater and spraying up into space the debris and detritus. They have their protection. They do not care about us minions of the people, the poor folks out here that don't have all the billions of dollars to give away to other countries. They do not care about us for one cotton-picking minute, sir.
I know.
Thank you for listening to me.
Well, thank you for the report, and I hope people are paying attention that, yeah, I mean, I don't think, I just know that the only ELEs that I read about today were only, they were saying that the ELE situation would have to be at least 60 miles wide and it would pose a threat if it was passing within 30 million miles of Earth.
You do know that that agreement has been kept secret all this time. And it brings to mind what we have been discussing over the airwaves for many years about what's going on now in the world still to this day. And I'd like to know one thing. Why in the world, with all the different people we've had in political power, why hasn't there been one honest Christian president come forward and say the public needs to know these things? That's important to save life and to keep our way of life to continue.
I agree with you. And I appreciate you calling in. And yes, we do need to focus on space again. We have neglected our responsibility on this planet, and that includes protecting this planet from anything happening out in space, any extraterrestrial threat. And I think that needs to be established and it needs to be looked into.
One thing more. That document that my friend snuck me through the mail, just plain mail, in a big manila envelope, had a NASA seal on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dan, I thank you for that. Thank you for telling us about that.
You better believe it. Thank you. I'm glad you let me on.
Thank you. Let's go to Jason in Ohio. WTAM, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clive. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I was just kind of curious about this 80-story asteroid that is so close to Earth. I know if it impacts us, it's not going to kill everybody, destroy the Earth. But what would happen if that asteroid was to hit full on and destroy the moon? Or would it?
I don't think it would destroy the moon. That's the thing, is that, you know, it's 80 stories. It would be the equivalent of, you know, I guess you could cut the Twin Towers in half. Or a little more than half of the Twin Towers there. If something like that hit, it would be like, you know, it would cause some severe damage, but not something that would knock the moon out of orbit or anything like that. It would just be a huge explosion on the moon, and we would see it.
Okay, but if something a little bit bigger, let's say, did hit the moon and knock it out of orbit or split it in half or destroyed it, what would that cause the Earth on life?
Well, it would affect the tides. It would affect a lot of things, I'm sure, but, you know, we could stand to have two moons. It wouldn't harm us. I mean, as long as it would remain in an orbit that, I did a show about this a long time ago. It was a Ground Zero Lounge about this, where I talked about Isaac Asimov and talked about it because of remember the TV show Space 1999, Jason?
Okay.
Yeah, that was about a nuclear explosion on the moon that knocked it out of orbit, and so it was basically the moon was just like traveling through space without a gravity pull. But that is kind of unlikely. It would basically, if there was a split or something like that, we would have two moons. And even if this thing was to slow down and got in orbit, it could be caught in the Earth's gravity pull, and it could turn into a moon itself. That'd be kind of interesting, I think. Rather than hitting us, it would slow down, and then the gravity would hold it, and we'd have a second moon in the sky. That'd be kind of fun. But, who knows what this would do? I mean, it's just, space is interesting. It's just a fascinating crapshoot snooker table. That's all it is. And, you win, you lose. Wind up in an extinction level event. 888-673-3700. We'll be back. I'd like to thank Alvin and Joe, who have diligently searched on the internet for the Russian footage from this morning. A huge fireball exploded over an area of Russia, a small village in Russia. The cams that were running during the time, there's actually a new one. This one is less grainy and, this is amazing. Less grainy, and when you look at all six of the security cameras and how they react to the explosion, something huge exploded over this area in Siberia. And many people are saying it was an asteroid or some sort of rock. We don't have any sounds of explosions, but you most certainly see the impact in this footage that we just posted on my Facebook page, facebook.com/groundzeroradio. This is real time happening now. Okay, so the fireballs have returned. This is like a little over a year since Chelyabinsk. Now Siberia is getting hit with an exploded asteroid or something. It's not about the war in Ukraine. That's too far away. This is something else. This is what is the result of what we've been seeing, the sweeper effect from the asteroids that have been passing overhead. We had one yesterday, one today, and now we have one that's about 80 stories wide that will pass through as well. They're saying it's not going to hit us, but yet, as a potentially hazardous asteroid, it has not been classified yet because of the fact they haven't been able to determine orbit or trajectory. So right now, we're hoping that it's not going to cause any trouble for the moon or anything else, but we need to pay attention to the movements. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Harold in Portland. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, how you doing?
Good.
Excellent. I just wanted to talk about what it says in Revelation 8.
Okay, what does it say in Revelation 8?
Okay, so Revelation 8, chapter
8.
chapter 8, verse. Okay.
Do you have it ready?
Okay, here, chapter 8, verse 8. Okay. Like an angel sounded his trumpet and something.
Okay,
like,
I can't hear you. You got to read loud into the telephone.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yes. Now read loud into the telephone. Here we go. Tell us what it is.
Okay. So, verse 8, the second angel sounded his trumpet. Something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea was turned into blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And then in chapter verse 12, it says, a fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon was struck, and a third of the stars, so that the third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yep.
So are you saying that this could be the thing that could fulfill a prophecy?
Potentially, maybe. I don't know.
Mm.
I just thought like it was fascinating that you're talking about this, and it's right there in the Bible. So,
well, you know, we have a blood moon coming up on the 15th of April.
Yeah, I know, and it also talks about the blood moons in Revelations as well.
Right. So there'll be a lot of things in the sky that's going to keep us pretty much occupied. It's going to be better than watching HBO.
I think so.
All right, man. Thanks for calling, or Netflix. Downloading Netflix. Why don't you just watch the skies? They're far more fascinating. You watch the skies. That's really cool. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Now, I want to remind everybody that 2014 CU-13, the chances of it hitting us, the potential for danger and the sweeper effects at present, there won't be the chances of 2014 CU-13 hitting us is very low. But there is a guarantee, and it's obvious now because we've been reporting it. So this was long before I even went into the show tonight, realizing that Siberia, once again, was going to have an explosion. You can see the footage on my website. And, of course, a number of people sending in actually fireballs, and, of course, the fireballs on the Pacific coast. They're saying that, and it's already started, so I was reading, authorities were saying that March 11th and through the 16th, we'd be seeing huge fireballs, but we're already seeing them now. It's academic because, Moscow reports this morning. Now, I'm telling you that what you're hearing from me is not from any official space station, only that it's research, and we are being visited with an inordinate amount of near-Earth objects. So far, New Mexico, fireballs, brighter than the moon, Vancouver, Washington. Waiting for some calls from Vancouver, Washington. Did anybody saw the explosions or heard the saw the flashes of light, heard the explosions? Small booms, flash of bluish pink light, seen through flashing clouds. X-ray is what it looked like. And it looks like that video that I posted on Facebook today. Tonight, actually. And I've got a lot of the video. I've got the New Mexico fireball posted in my Ground Zero media site. Also, the Yellow Knife Canada flash of light. It came through the Aurora Borealis. It looked like a spaceship was landing. So there you go. We got a lot of reports tonight. You seeing anything? What do you think's happening? And should we set aside some money to protect ourselves from this type of stuff? 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
It's time for the OutFront outtake. So the government shutdown, of course, is very serious. The bottom line is aliens could take over the planet thanks to the shutdown. And then there's NASA's asteroid watch. There's no watching during the shutdown. Ed Liu, a former astronaut, told us on this program that we haven't found 99% of the big asteroids out there. Liu says we don't even know where the next asteroid that could massively damage or destroy Earth even is right now. So we might miss the big one because of the shutdown.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. People are asking me, how do I get to your Facebook page? Just go to facebook.com/Ground Zero Radio. Hit the like button. And there you'll see posts of all kinds of things, including what's being tweeted all over the country right now. They're sharing the footage of what happened in Russia. It's kind of a repeat of what happened in Chelyabinsk. We're seeing an exploding surge of light. A number of security cams are picking it up, and so far no dash cams and no live cams with explosions. But I'm sure whatever it was caused a major explosion up there, because we're hearing sonic booms, big flashes of light, and you see it on the cameras. So, yes, we're seeing the sweeper effect again with these big asteroids. We had one pass over yesterday, one today, and we have an 80-story wide asteroid that is now coming within, I guess, eight lunar distances. Not even that. I mean, it's closer than that, I think. It's 213,000, so I'll have to look that up again. It's less than eight. It's right there. It's within range. Let's just say that. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Cheryl in Texas, WOAI. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. I just want to throw this out there. I kind of, in my own opinion, I think we ought to be questioning the military-industrial complex about this, and as well as the Pentagon.
Why?
Because we have a bunch of new weapons. I heard an article in a science magazine a few days ago that named off a bunch of new weapons that we're testing and that we're playing with right now. And there were weapons I've never heard of. They weren't laser-type weapons or anything like that. I know about the laser test. And
they're the rods from God. It's called the rods from God. They're kinetic weapons that they can drop from space and they could come down looking like asteroids when in reality they're not.
Are those the tungsten ones?
Yes.
Rods from God is what they're called?
They're calling the rods from God. They were put together with something called Project Thor. Yeah.
Ah, makes sense.
Yeah, they have those. I don't know if this is the case with this, because they're tracking these, and you understand that if they have, and they've been showing these rocks. In fact, we posted something with a rock disintegrated, but they're showing these rocks on camera now as they pass over. And the thing is now we're seeing the sweeper effect, and people are witnessing these fireballs without any harm, but they're seeing them. Obviously, what we're seeing are some close calls with space. So there is a lot of space activity going on right now. In fact, there's a coronal hole that apparently has pushed some solar wind out there. So we may be seeing a lot of space weather in the next few days.
Well, we do have satellite weaponry up there, and I do know that it's just like the weather modification. I think that we can also we're experimenting either accidentally doing this or accidentally on purpose doing it, but we're creating things in the sky. In other words, these meteors and stuff. Because these weapons, when they hit different bodies of planets or rocks or whatever, they're going to chunk some of it off and throw it into space. Who knows how big it's going to be or anything? But I think NASA knows all about it. I think it's a huge conspiracy. I'm tending to think, like, I listened to Tyler. I listened to the lady from Ohio saying somebody knows something. Listen to Tyler. You know, we never had all this crap going on before with his being a pilot, and we listened to the man who had the documents taken from him, who had his radio program. That kind of is leading me to believe that there's something bigger out there and that it is a conspiracy. I think it has to do with the military-industrial complex and the fact that, hey, we need to kill a lot of people quickly so we can pull this EU thing together, whether it's through weather modification, space modification, whatever it is. And I really do tend to think that. some of the fireballs we hear or see, the booms, the earthquakes and stuff that we're having here, I can attribute that easily to the fracking in a 100-mile radius. But what you're talking about, these meteors, that's something entirely different.
Well, and people are noticing them, and they're sending videos. And if you get a chance, Cheryl, you need to take a look at this video footage of what happened in Siberia today. Once again, we're reliving what happened nearly a year ago, or over a year ago, when we look at Chelyabinsk, when that happened on February 14th. And we were saying, oh, something just passed by. I wonder what would happen if, oh, my gosh. I remember that night, too. I was talking to Bill from Connecticut. Do you remember Bill from Connecticut called the program, and he goes, oh, I don't think anything's going to hit the earth. You're just saying a bunch of stuff, and then all of a sudden I just get off the phone with him.
And then boom.
And we were watching CNN to see if anything was going to break. And apparently no, there was nothing breaking. They were talking about a boat that was docking with people coming off of it sick and whatever. And so I just thought, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I just said, you got a boat coming in, and we got things pummeling the planet. Yeah, it's not very smart.
We need to hear from Jack in California.
Oh.
Where is he?
I don't know. He's popular.
You know, because he's a brilliant man.
He is a brilliant guy. He is brilliant.
But you've got a lot of brilliant callers calling, and I think we just need to take time and put it all together. I think it's part of the government doing, and NASA can but won't. Report it, and maybe they're told not to, but I really do think we need to look at the military-industrial complex, because they're creating this, I think.
We'll check it out.
The meteor thing.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. 888-673-3700. We go to Ron in Texas at WOAI. Hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. How you doing?
Good.
I was talking to your call screener. I was telling him about a noise I heard in the air. I didn't know if it had anything to do with the meteor or anything, but I was sitting in my car, and I had the window down, and straight up in the air from my car, I heard this, like, metal on metal. It was like, it sounded like an old, you know, those old desks from back in the day in school, mm-hmm. scooting across the ground.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
2.5 minutes, and I tried to run in the house and get my wife to come out and hear this. It didn't sound like it came from down the street or to my left or right. It was just straight up in the air. There was no clouds in the sky. You could see the stars. It was hit here in San Antonio. My wife was thinking maybe it was something on the military base, but I told her it sounded like it was right straight above the car.
Yeah, I mean, the people are hearing stuff. New Mexico had an explosion and a flash, and it was brighter than the moon last night. So, you know, yeah, it could have been something that was in the sky that exploded or that upon impact hit somewhere. Or, I mean, tremors are something you need to also look for. If there's ever tremors that you can feel or something, because there is a electromagnetic response, for sure.
It was weird. It was nothing I ever heard before. I didn't see a flash of light or... any booms. It was just like I was telling your call screener, I said it sounded like that you ever seen that movie War of the Worlds, the different noises those machines made?
Oh, the tripod where it went that sound?
Yeah, it sounded similar to that, but it only lasted for about two and a half minutes.
Wow. That'd be creepier than ever. Sound like a horn blowing, like a trumpet from an angel or something.
It didn't sound like a trumpet. It just sounded like metal on metal, you know.
Okay.
Like that noise.
Well, Ron, I appreciate you calling and give us the report. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a nice evening.
You too. Take care. 888-673-3700. We go now to Ben in Wisconsin. WTAQ, you're on Ground Zero.
Mr. Lewis, how are you?
Good.
I'll be very brief. I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran, and I'm calling in regards to the gentleman who called regarding... Mount Weather in West Virginia. I served with some young men who were from Virginia. They were miners. They grew up, their whole families were miners. And in West Virginia, it's some of the hardest rock in the United States. And this is an ideal place to build an underground separate facility from in case Washington D.C. had to be evacuated.
Right.
It makes sense to me, and I would suggest regarding the meteors, anyone should Google the Tunguska explosion.
Oh yes, mm-hmm. Tunguska. By the way, the Tunguska explosion happened with a meteor about the size of the one that passed overhead today, about 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Correct. And I don't want to take up your time. Excellent show, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This from John. Please note a possible link with asteroids and St. Malachy's prophecies of the popes. Leaders gather in Rome and the city is destroyed. Currently, negotiations are taking place in Rome over the stalemate in Ukraine. While overhead, an asteroid 80 stories wide is T-minus 5 days away. Possible link? We'll know in 6 days. Amazing. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. A very, very dramatic night. We went in to talk about the asteroids and the possible passing of an 80-story asteroid that's out there. And tonight, Russia, once again, having a huge explosion, caught on film, caught on camera, videotaped by security cams. We have them posted on the Facebook page. It's just amazing what goes down. That place gets hit a lot, Siberia. Tunguska, of course, is Siberia. That's the area there. So it's definitely a place where these things go. But in the meantime, people seeing fireballs all over the place tonight. Had a few videos sent in to me. It was amazing. And some from last night that I posted on my page at groundzeromedia.org. But to take a look, please do. What do you think we should do? Do you think that we should set aside money and protect ourselves from something that's coming? Do you think something big out there is coming, pushing all that stuff toward us in the detritosphere? What do you think? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More Ground Zero to come. Don't go away. Getting reports of military activity in Virginia. That's all we got. We'll keep you updated if something goes down. Sam in Kansas, KSLA, you're on Ground Zero.
Good evening, Clyde. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you need to get your Kevlar and your flak vest on. Not just with the meteorites, but there's a lot of strange phenomena that's been happening the last year. For the last 20 years, they claim that the North Pole is headed south toward Russia, and that may be drawing in the meteors. And this last, I mean, I think it's been traveling about 50 to 60 kilometers a year for about the last 20 years. But this past year, it moved 160 kilometers. And they're having the aurora. They're seeing it as far south as London and even parts of France, which in itself isn't that unusual. But, I mean, it's kind of an indicator of, you know, strange phenomena happening all over the solar system. And the Chicxulub, the one that supposedly killed the dinosaurs, was only 17 miles across.
Mm-hmm.
And they claimed that it was an iron nickel asteroid that hit. And another thing that you were talking about, the bodies or the body that they suspected is coming this way, that it's moving its trajectory. Well, it kind of follows a logical sequence. As they look out in space, it's only dumb luck that they detect them to begin with.
Oh, I know. That's what's creepy about the whole thing.
Well, and I think they see an object, and the next day or so they don't see it again. They see another object, and they assume that its trajectory's moving. So it's kind of my opinion that there's more than one headed this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, because, I mean, in order to get it to move a great distance, it would have to encounter a body of equal size.
Right.
And that doesn't appear to be the case. So I think it's multiple bodies.
Well, that would most definitely, my opinion is that, yes, we do have multiples coming at us, and that there are various different sizes. And so this is the thing that we need to look out for, because, each time we get told that it could interfere with the satellites, it could interfere with a lot of things. And I think that one of these days, we're going to get something that's going to hit one of those satellites. It probably won't be that big. It'll probably be the size of a soccer ball. It'll probably take out a satellite. We're all going to freak out because we're not going to know why it was taken out. We're going to suspect it's like a an enemy or someone who's doing space warfare?
Well, the way that I understand it, anything that is what they would consider catastrophic would have to be at least a mile in diameter or bigger.
I was reading that they don't even look at ELEs unless they're 60 miles wide. I could be wrong.
Kind of like a pogo stick in a minefield.
Well, I mean, they're saying something 60 miles wide would be, and moving, you know, about 45,000-50,000 miles an hour would definitely be something to deal with if it came close to Earth. And they said that if it's within 30 million miles, they would hit the panic button. So you're looking at something that big, 30 million miles away, and they would tell us. That's what I was reading.
Well, I don't think they'd tell us. I think they're most of the ones that we see are private people detect those by accident.
Right,
and
but
I
something
think they know they're there, and they just failed to. They don't want to get us in an uproar.
Let's hope that nothing that big is out there, and these little ones that are coming at us are just precursors. I hope that's not the case,
well,
but I really appreciate the call. Thank you, Sam. We're out of time. I appreciate it. Have a good night, buddy. Take care. You old Chicken Little, get your hard hat on, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, there's more to come, and we're looking over these videos. They're amazing coming out of Russia tonight. I don't know. It's just a crazy world, and we're in the middle of a very, very violent solar system tonight. We have another one coming our way, this time 80 stories wide. And they say that it should be within 213,000 miles of Earth. And we hope it's just a close shave. That's all they're telling us right now. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back. Lunatic Outpost, this is a forum that's online right now, is speculating as to whether or not the situation in Ukraine is a distraction from, quote, meteor doom. Interesting. Now they're discussing the videos that have been released out of Russia. By the way, you can see those videos if you go to my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Ground Zero Radio. Hey, I want to kick off the local hour with something I want to talk to you about, and then we'll get back to the fireballs and the phone calls. Friday at 5 o'clock is the deadline. Friday at 5 o'clock is the deadline. And what I mean by that is that will be the end of sales for tickets at $12 to see the Ground Zero Lounge. And I hope you get them online for $12 by Friday's due date at 5 so you can get it cheaper than at the door. It's actually $15 at the door. There will be snacks, food, all kinds of cool stuff. Jones Soda will also provide us drinks. The Bing Lounge is a great place. If you haven't been there, some of you have been there. Today on the Jim Villanucci Show, I was able to discuss the Ground Zero Lounge. We have, before Ground Zero became a full-on 24-hour day, I was going to say a full-on 24-hour day lifestyle for me, before it became a full-on five-hour program here at KXL, we were doing it. We were doing the show on the radio on the weekends on the old KOFO. We also did it at KOTK. We did several radio stations in Oregon. We did it online. And we also did a show called the Ground Zero Lounge. Many of you are aware of the Ground Zero Lounge because we performed it at Dante's. That was our home for a long time doing the show. And then after I got my old job back full time at KXL Radio, we got rid of the program. But then when I had an opportunity to do it again, I was sent all over the country, mainly California and other places to do it, and I did it there. It was actually here in Portland where Penn and Teller discovered the show. Pink. Emmy Award singer Pink literally performed. She performed the song "Dear Mr. President" for the first time at the Ground Zero Lounge. She just happened to be in town, liked what she heard. She jumped up on stage with me, and I actually ended up karaokeing with her on the karaoke from Hell People. I went up on stage, and she said, "You're going to sing me and Bobby McGee with me." And I said, "I know how to sing. That's not even in my range." by the end of the song, she gave me that look like, you better sing with me, you idiot, or I'm going to tear your head off. And so I did. She's amazing. Pink is. She was there. So a lot of great and interesting things happen at Ground Zero Lounges. You never know what may happen, but this is an experiment. We're reviving it. We performed at the Jack London as well. I want to forget the Jack London Bar. We did a lot of great, cool shows at the Jack London. And now we moved to the Bing. It's a full-on audio-visual area. And so $12 day of show. You got to go to groundzeromedia.org. Groundzeromedia.org. When you go there, you will see Ground Zero Lounge Live. And you click on the little box for details, and it'll give you the rundown of the Ground Zero Lounge. A great opportunity for you to see Ground Zero raw. We have microphones available for you if you want to make your statements there at the Ground Zero Lounge. It's a big conversation. It's like one big get-together where we all sip coffee and talk about things that are happening. But this outing, we're going to do a show called Lessons of Olympic Proportions, basically showing that the Olympics are precursors to things like what's going on in Ukraine right now and Russia. And we're going to talk about the London Olympics, Beijing Olympics, what happened during that time. London, Beijing, Sarajevo, all of the things that have made this just a whopping success for the New World Order. You can come by and check it out. March 8th, that's this Saturday. Doors open at 4:30. The event's from 5 to 7. The Bing Lounge is located 1210 Southwest 6th Avenue. That's 1210 Southwest 6th Avenue. I want you to write it down, so if you do end up missing the deadline on the internet, you can buy the tickets at the door. There will be people there to take the tickets for you. I have a number of people that are telling me they want VIP, and I said, well, you know, it's whoever shows up at the door, it'll be standing room only if we have to do it that way. I'd love it. So that would be great, because it would show the company that the Ground Zero Lounge is viable and we can restart it again. And that's exactly what I want to do, is I want to restart the Ground Zero Lounge, because it gives us an opportunity also to maybe do it live on the radio nationally and hopefully tour it. That'd be great. Tonight we're talking about, and I plan to talk about space rocks. Because of the fact, at first I didn't realize, because last night I heard from a friend of mine, Roger Clouton. He called me and he says, man, what is it with NASA telling us that, you know, that something just passed overhead? They tell us after the fact. They don't warn us. That's pretty scary. I said, yeah, maybe I should talk about that again. Yeah, maybe we should. And so I came in today and I was doing my show, actually preparing my show. And a guy who works with me named Max came up to me and he says, what are you talking about tonight? And I said, I'm talking about the space rock that passed overhead. He says, are you going to talk about the other space rock that's coming? I go, which one? Is it the one that's coming tonight? I said, you're kidding me, right? He says, no, they just detected it. There are a bunch of rocks that are just coming from out of nowhere, being hurled at the planet, coming by, and they may hit. I'm going, oh, come on, really? And he goes, yeah. Sure enough, I checked, and yes, there was one that passed overhead, a close shave again. That was at about 4:30 Eastern time. It passed overhead. And then as I was looking further, I saw PHA CU-13. It was 2014 CU-13. And it was an asteroid that's the size of an 80-story building that's coming within 213,000 miles of Earth, which is really close. And they're saying that it's the potential of hazard to the Earth is uncertain because we're unable to figure out its trajectory and its orbit at this time. We do know it's out there. We have seen it since February 11th. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is bigger than I thought. And then, while I'm on the air, reminiscent of what happened back in the day, it was February 14th, 2013, Chelyabinsk, Russia, an exploding fireball detected on dash cams. And now there's an exploding fireball over an area near Siberia. And I've got the footage now on my Facebook page, facebook.com/groundzeroradio. It needs to be stressed before we go to break, before we get to the phones, that odds are space rocks have a better chance of falling over one of our oceans, which take up more than 2/3 of the Earth's surface. And there's still vast stretches of uninhabited lands where they can also handle impacts without any chance of loss of human life or infrastructure. One of the things, though, that's really difficult for me, and it's the total abandonment or the total lack of funding for a space program that is working to protect the planet. Budget constraints have slowed NASA's efforts to meet its goal of identifying all of the big rocks that may come our way, especially those that are the same size as the one that exploded over Tunguska in Chelyabinsk. Now, according to a published report provided in 2008 by the New York Times, Rusty Swikert, the Apollo 9 astronaut who heads a foundation advocating more research on identifying near-Earth objects and developing unmanned spacecraft that could nudge them off track like a tugboat, he says this. He said, progress so far of getting anything accomplished has come through constant pushing against resistant bureaucracies and politicians focused on whether this is an issue of the moment. Basically, what he's saying there is that, oh, this is just an issue that happens, comes and goes. We don't have to really think about it. But Ukraine, we got to go and fight Ukraine. Anyway. He said there was still no significant effort to devise an international agreement, let alone a deflection technique or dealing with the inevitable earthbound asteroid or comet, large or small, when it's identified. He says it may be subtle, but failure of the international decision process is most likely the reason that we'll take a hit on this planet in the future. All the bureaucratic nonsense. That was 2008 when he said that. 6 years later, with the anniversary of one bolide airburst still lingering in the collective memory of the entire world in Chelyabinsk, these close brushes with space rocks give us reason to break away from our regularly scheduled crisis and realize that, like Nixon said back when I was talking about him and what he was doing earlier, while there is raucous discord on Earth, there seems to be a rock in discord above Earth, and we need to pay attention to it. What do you think we should do? We should set aside money or something. Do you have a solution, or have you seen anything tonight that seems a little out of the ordinary? I'm getting a lot of videos, too. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More to come on Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
This is Ground Zero on FM News 101. Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
Let's go to Michael, Pennsylvania. Hi, Michael. You're on Ground Zero.
Evening, sir. Honored to speak with you.
You're on the air.
Yes, I am. You know, I just had this gut feeling, not like any kind of secret knowledge or anything, just a gut feeling when that stuff started in Ukraine right after the Olympics, that something was up. I thought maybe like a financial crisis or something, because I know a lot of people around here are hurting really bad. Some of the things you guys are saying, you know, maybe it's something else. But that fellow from Tennessee, he was talking about government underground places to hide and be safe in a disaster. Well, have you ever heard of Velikovsky?
Yes, Emmanuel Velikovsky,
Right, in his book, Worlds in Collision. I won't get, like, way into the details, but if they go underground and something big comes in, there's going to be a lot of earthquakes, and they're just going to outsmart themselves and get crushed. And
well, it depends on how far you go down. I mean, there are a lot of tunnels that are going to be – a lot of tunnels that are dug into mountains to save a lot of things from our DNA to microfish and genealogy. So there you go.
Yeah, sort of the way the Hopi have corn and stuff stashed in the places out in Arizona.
Yeah, they have all kinds of things.
There, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, they have all kinds of things they have buried so far underground because they think that it will protect them. There are bunkers at the Denver airport. There are places all over the world where people can take shelter underground, many miles underground, actually.
Yeah, but there's still no guarantee, you know, when something big comes in.
Oh, of course there's no guarantee. If something big comes in about the size of 60 miles wide, I mean, that's something that will definitely make an impact on the planet.
Oh, yeah, the gravitational pull and all that kind of thing. You know, how does a person survive something like that? Or
you don't. Yeah, you just don't. That's why they call it ELE.
Who knows?
Yeah, right. Maybe somebody will. I mean,
what to do.
Yeah, I mean, they. It's funny because you know, there are survivability. There is survivability even when the dinosaurs allegedly went extinct. There are places in South America, Chile, and South Africa that were still intact after that happened.
Right. So, yeah. So thank you very much for your show. A lot of interesting comments. I won't take any more of your time.
You're the man. Thank you for calling in, Michael. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye. Let's go to AJ in Matthews, Virginia. You're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, how you doing, Glass?
Good.
Back on the guy a couple, like, 20, 30 minutes ago was talking about increased military activity and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed I work over in Newport News near Norfolk Naval and Langley and Portsmouth Naval Base and all that. I've actually noticed a lot of increased activity, like fighters and everything going all over the place around here as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was kind of ironic that y'all started talking about it as well.
Well, somebody had, there are a lot of people that are sending me stuff. You know, it's like I'm getting bombarded with everything. I'm paying attention to what's going on with the military activity, Ukraine, that kind of thing. And then I'm also paying attention to what's going on in Russia with this exploding fireball, if anything else is coming forward. So, you know, and we're abandoning the important stuff from space for Ukraine, which makes me wonder if this is just a distraction from what may be happening up in space. And I was thinking about that, but I didn't realize to the extent that this is a distraction from what's going on up there.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think is going on? I mean, you're near the naval bases. You're near the bases, right?
I'm near a lot, actually.
Right.
And I truly don't know. I feel like I think Ukraine is a big cover up of what actually is really going on up way, way above.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, it's a really cloudy night tonight, so I can't really look up and see anything. But honestly think they're using everything else in the news to try and cover up something that is a lot bigger than Ukraine.
Yeah, well, it's like I said, I mean, we've been told that there was an invasion when there wasn't an invasion. We've been told that, you know, we get told all kinds of things, and nobody investigates that. And I've investigated, several other people investigate, I've talked to people, we've looked into it, we've looked, and what we found was that there's a lot of disinformation. I mean, you look at Abby Martin, she said, she was just on CNN the other night after she had said what she said about RT, and she said, yeah, there's plenty of disinformation going around about Russia, plenty of disinformation going around through the United States. And she said that she's not going to, support any military intervention here because there's no reason for it. There's no reason for the military strongholds. And, you know, Abby's being very objective and very responsible. And I always find her to be interesting, and you know, of course, I think Liz Wohl went on a number of shows too, and she said she would love to work for the mainstream media here in the United States. So I guess kind of makes you wonder why she quit RT, but that's another story and another topic for another time.
Yeah. Also, and another quick thing: there was a guy over here. Your show ends at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
There was a guy who was talking about how the Arctic was shifting.
Yes. We're watching our magnetic shift. Yes.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny because back I think it was the mid to late 90s. I think I was 8 or 9. I live in the Middle Peninsula of Virginia. And I remember we had a very vivid aurora down here, like, it was crazy. And our neighbor was a very religious person and thought it was the end of times and everything. But I very vividly remember that happening in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to see what transpires coming up because I just hope we don't go to war. That'd be nuts. That'd just be a nutty thing to do.
I don't think anybody wants to go to war.
Of course not. We've been beaten up with the Afghanistan thing, and now we're getting ready to go into the Ukraine? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. So, AJ, thank you for the report from Virginia. I really appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoy your show.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. That leaves a line open. If you want to call in, I had a hard time getting in. You can get in calling in tonight. I want to hear some people from Vancouver. I know that we've gone local now for a while. Had a number of people in Vancouver see some strange stuff in the sky, heard explosions. I'm wondering if maybe we, I wasn't awake to hear it. You know what's funny? I did hear something last night that sounded, we had a lot of wind, okay? So, you know, we had a lot of wind last night. My house was creaking and it was a lot of wind. And I was thinking that maybe what I was hearing was thunder or something else, but it was definitely something like a rumbling. Maybe it was when I got home, like It'd be like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning when I heard it. I don't know if that's what had happened, but I'd like to get some opinions on that, because if that's the case, yeah, we've been hearing the fireballs and seeing them as well. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
Observe Antirius, a star of the 12th magnitude in the Scorpio constellation. If you will observe closely, you will notice that a small, bright meteor has detached itself from the star and is hurtling through space at incredible speed.
Video, a surprising light show in skies above several western states.
A meteor streaked across the sky, taking even astronomers off guard. You can see it here from a car's dash cam. People from Malibu, California to Mexico saw the fireball streak across the sky.
That's incredible video. Take a look at that. The National Weather Service says this meteor was most likely associated with the Southern Torrids meteor shower, which doesn't really bring a big number of meteors, but when they do appear, they are in fact very bright.
And I'm just watching, and it was coming like in slow motion. It was about as big as, I would say, about a cantaloupe. But it was perfectly round, all blue, and just the very tip of it was just a big long tip. Humongous. Tip was just orange.
California are talking about last night's galactic surprise, an apparent meteor ascending fireball shooting across the horizon. Excuse me. Emergency phone lines and social media lit up with reported sightings. And as Carter Evans shows us, it could be the prelude to something bigger.
This is security cam video of what many residents in Southern California believe was a meteor seen across the skyline.
I just saw a bunch of flashes out of the corner of my eye, and then like a big gray light, and then three approaches. That's what you're doing. Taking the pictures or something.
Is happening across the world in the past 24 hours. We're just going to have to wait and see, but this is definitely something that caught a lot of our viewers tonight, and, well, they're, so to speak, somewhat starstruck.
Fireballs like that happen.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Oh, yeah. All right, let's go now to Susie in Texas. Hi, Susie. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. I love listening to Portland News. I used to get up there a lot on business, and I really miss it. Yeah, it's been a rather strange evening around down here. I live actually out what I call in the middle of nowhere, and when I was out feeding the animals earlier, I heard this really, really loud gonging sound that was reverberating off of some of the hills that I have on either side. And it sounded like somebody was beating the sides of, you know, one of those old cast iron cauldrons that they used to make lye soap out of.
Yeah.
And it happened three times. It was very loud. Now, I don't have any neighbors that are either under 90 or that live full time in my area. So getting together with them and finding out if they heard anything was kind of, you know, beyond the prospect. But it was very, very loud, and I thought, what the hell was that? And it scared the bejesus out of my animals. And I thought, well, you know, you don't often hear things like that around here, out in the middle of nowhere. But I do know that maybe 26, 30 miles away, there is a CIA training camp, or at least there used to be, and I'm pretty sure it's still operative. The past few days, we've also had, I've had friends of mine call and say, we've got black helicopters, which are buzzing the tree line outside our house. And I'm like, get video. But these things that are going on now, atmospheric, man-made, non-man-made, it doesn't surprise me anymore, anything that the military industrial complex could dream up that we won't know about until 50 years after we're dead. So it's pretty disconcerting when you hear something this loud, and then you find out that other people across the country are either seeing things. Now, I looked up, and we have a very clear night tonight. You can see a lot of stars. The moon, the quarter moon crescent came up, and then it went down not too long ago. Mm-hmm. But while I was standing outside on hold waiting to speak with you, there were three green lights They were moving swiftly through the trees on the ridge in front of my house, which is maybe a quarter mile away, maybe half a mile away.
Right.
And then they went quickly through the trees, and they sped. It looked like they were coming straight at me. It was an optical illusion. They were there for an instant, and they went past and over. All my dogs hit the ground. My wolf was howling, and you felt this whoosh. And this was maybe 10 minutes ago. And then they disappeared.
Were they meteors or were they UFOs or were they meteors?
These were green. I don't know what color meteors tend to fall into, you know, what category they fall into. I would anticipate a meteor having somewhat of a more of a bluish tinge or yellow streak.
Well, I've seen them. I've seen them green. I've seen them green before. It's not like.
Okay.
It's just the idea of the whoosh that you heard, and whether or not I don't know, they didn't explode. Did they finally fade out, or what happened to them?
They went beyond. Now I was in an area where I have a clean visual shot from one edge of the ridge in front of my house to behind, and on the I live on a river, and on the other side of the river there's a massive floodplain. Now, recently we heard that the Carlisle Group had bought not only the camp on the other side of me, but three ranches over,
mm-hmm.
6,500 mm-hmm. acres. And that's all I need for neighbors. But anyway, these orbs seem to disappear beyond and go over the ridge. And I've got trees and things that are obviously down along the river and on the other side. But these were exceedingly bright.
Right.
I couldn't. It was... You know, if my mother had been outside, she would have said, I don't know what she would have said. But I'm not about to try to explain it to a 91-year-old. My son also saw it, and for an instant, and I asked him, I said, what do you think that was? And he said, he's almost 10. He says, I'm not really sure, but maybe you ought to tell Clyde about it. I said, well,
here's another thing, too. I mean, if you thought you saw a UFO... There's always the National UFO Reporting Center. And you just go to UFOCenter.com, and Peter Davenport would love to hear from you if you think it was a UFO. If not, then what you saw was something that was an anomaly, some sort of a green light going, a couple green lights going through the sky. It definitely sounds like something that would be a meteor or, you know, it would be copper, had a lot of copper in it that burned off. That's why it was kind of green.
These were so low to the ground. These weren't up above the ridge line. These were much closer to the tree line. I've got some very, very tall pecan trees out in the front yard, which right now are devoid of leaves. But it's like they skimmed the line and then went through and past me and over on the other side of the river, past the camp and over that ridge. And
right.
There were three of them in perfect triangular formation. Now, I didn't hear... Any engines, I didn't hear anything mechanical. There wasn't any gonging or anything like that. They were just very clear and bright, and then I felt the whoosh. And I guess I will go online and report that.
I think you should. That sounds very UFO-ish to me.
Okay.
The more I'm thinking about your story, the more it sounds like that you probably encountered a UFO or at least three UFOs flying overhead, and because it doesn't sound like characteristics of a meteor. Now, it could not. Now, I'm just saying that because there's no sonic booms. There's no real explosions. They were lower to the ground. They flew over. You heard the whoosh. Did you feel the wind as they flew over?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's why all my animals hit the ground. They thought they were about to get hit.
Wow. And so there was no...
And they were...
Yeah, okay. It just sounds like a UFO to me, some sort of UFO situation.
Okay.
No, any loss of time? Any loss of time? Anything like that? Any weird stuff?
No, nothing that weird. Other than my animals became abnormally silent, and then they just hit the ground. They weren't barking. It was strange in that manner because normally anything odd they see, deer going through. You know, unauthorized personnel on my property, they set up a howl. They went really quiet and hit the ground.
It just sounds so eerie. It sounds like a UFO case. I would report it because you may have in that area other UFO reports that he can compare them to and get back with you on that.
Okay. Now, what is the website I need to go to?
UFOcenter.com.
UFOCenter.com.
Yeah.
Okay, then I will do that.
All right.
All right, Clyde. Thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Thank you, Susie. Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye. That's quite a creepy story there. Sounds like a meteor thing, but when they're just like flying over and it goes whoosh and the animals all hit the deck, that, I don't know. They sense something was up. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More to come tonight as we await the big one. 80 stories wide. A meteor called 2014 CU-13. It's out there somewhere coming our way within 213,000 miles. That's less than the lunar distance. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL. This is Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Let's go to Donna in Brick, New Jersey. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. First, I want to wish you a belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
I know before you were talking about, I don't know if you had storms last night, that it was windy, but I worked till midnight. And when I was getting home yesterday, it was a nice clear night. And then all of a sudden, probably like an hour later, the wind just picked up. And also when I was getting out of my car, when I was coming home, I saw what I thought were like flashes of light in the sky. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think nothing of it. My husband was, you know, getting ready to go to work. And all of a sudden, the wind just kicked up. And it wasn't just like wind gusts. It just was constant wind for about like 2.5 hours. The sky was clear. There was no storms around. And I mean, I live, you know, right near the Jersey Shore, but I just felt like it just was, there was unbelievable winds. I mean, mm-hmm. And then like nobody talked about it or anything. It just was just constant wind because I have this like a rain chain outside my door and it just kept slamming up against my door. And I just thought it was like really weird. It was almost like, I kind of felt like I was in space for a minute. Not that I've ever been there, but it was just like really weird wind. It just was constant, and there was no storms or, you know.
Well, we were having a storm last night, and the wind kicked up. But what was odd is that when I was at home, I heard some rumbling. I was kind of paying attention to the cat, but I heard some rumbling, and I thought, what is that? What is that rumbling noise? And I thought, it's probably the wind blowing a little harder causing the rumbling. But then I thought it didn't sound. I just kind of took a step back and wondered if it was just some rumble or something. And, of course, you don't think something weird when you hear a rumble. You just think it's a freaking rumble.
Right,
it could be a jet. It could be a thunder. It could be anything. And now, when I'm hearing from listeners saying, did you happen to hear this rumble around this time of night? And there were lights flashing and I got this video and blah. I'm thinking maybe that was something I should have paid attention to. Maybe I would have had an experience, you know.
I mean, that's just the first thing I thought of, you know, because I knew there was supposed to be, you know, something passing through the sky or something, you know, coming close to Earth or whatever yesterday. But that's like as soon as I saw those lights, like maybe it wasn't even maybe an hour later. And then the wind just kicked up and it was just so weird that these winds came out of nowhere. They were constant. And then that was it. Mm-hmm. Like maybe 2 hours later, you know, because I'm up pretty much all night. And I just felt like these winds were, and it was constant, just constant wind.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like gusts of wind or, so I thought that was just really odd because we're on the other side of the country and, you know,
no storms. The weather is weird. The weather is just super weird. The things are super weird. Space weather is weird. It's all weird. And it's like when that pilot called me from Illinois, I don't know if you caught that, but he called up and he said, yeah. You know, I've been flying now for 7 years. And he says, all of the pilots, some of the older ones and even the younger ones, and me, says, we have seen these fireballs, these huge fireballs, come within about 15 miles of our aircraft. And we can't pull away from them, but they explode before we get to them. But he says, we're seeing more and more of them. He says, the frequency is a lot higher. We have to give reports to the FAA about these close calls. And he says, one of these times we may hear in the news of a plane that might get hit by a meteor or get hit by a fireball.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, it might take something like that to either wake up the media or, you know, get something done from somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, spend money on something that's a little bit more, makes a lot more sense than spending it on war or toys for war.
Yeah, and that's the thing is they love to spend money on war, tools and everything else, and they love to shake their fists and rattle their sabers. But when it comes to things like this, they'll keep it pretty quiet, and they won't say anything about it. And yet we find out later we had this close call, and that they haven't done a damn thing, lifted a finger to even protect us from anything.
Oh, don't get me started.
I know.
Well, I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Show.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a great night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ground Zero Lounge coming up this Friday, actually for this Saturday. Starts at 5 o'clock. And the tickets that are being sold on the internet for $12 in advance, we'll have the deadline at 5 p.m. So you got to buy them quick so you can get them for the low price of $12. Otherwise, they're $15 a day a show. Now, you got a show, you get snacks, you get soda, you get all kinds of things. You get to meet other Ground Zero listeners, plus an opportunity to, you know, basically talk and be a star yourself. We have the Ground Zero Lounge setup is kind of different. I get up there and I do a presentation, and we also step down and we actually stop down and have listeners who are there participating in the show, asking questions and giving their thoughts and opinions. It's like an amazing way to have this informative chat about some of the topics that are very interesting. So if you go to groundzeromedia.org, go to groundzeromedia.org. There you'll see the Ground Zero Lounge Live banner. Click on that. It's in the left-hand side of the site. Click on that. It'll take you to a PayPal page where you can pay for your tickets. $12 in advance, $15 a day of show at the Bing Lounge. If you haven't been to the Bing Lounge, it's a great treat, great place to get together for concerts and all kinds of other cool things. We're doing our show there. Doors open at 4:30 on March 8th. The event starts at 5, lasts till 7. And if you aren't able to get the tickets online, you can be sure and show up at the lounge at 1210 Southwest 6th Avenue. That's 1210 Southwest 6th Avenue. And we'll be there to say hello, and we'll love to see you. Love to chat with you as well. It'll be a good time for many Ground Zero listeners to get together. We perform this all over the country. We've gone from place to place and done all kinds of cool things with this, done a lot of bars in Portland. And we're hoping to organize this, make it work, and tour at a theater or at a bar or somewhere near you, the Ground Zero Lounge. And be sure and get your tickets online now by going to groundzeromedia.org. That's groundzeromedia.org. Coming up, more of your phone calls and more reports about what's happening with a big one coming at us, the big ball of rock or whatever you want to call it, 80 stories tall or 80 stories wide. It's out there. And I think it's going to be pushing stuff our way, and that's why people are seeing these lights. They're seeing or they're hearing the sounds, and I think that's exactly what's happening. But we'd love to hear from you if you're having any of these experiences as well. It's very compelling. A lot of calls tonight really making you think about what's above us. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be hearing from you coming up in the next hour right here on Ground Zero.
Some of the scenes you will witness may appear to border on fantasy.
Stand by.
You have 5 seconds. 5. Information is free.
4. 3.
There
two,
is hope. 1.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We shame you."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700, 888-673-3700. We just got another report, New Mexico, huge fireball exploding over Mexico. Yeah, we're in that pattern again, ladies and gentlemen. The stuff is sweeping in, and people are seeing the stuff now. So look up into the heavens, keep your eyes to the skies. The big one's coming, it's pushing stuff our way. And I don't know, it's going to be interesting to hear what happens within the next 24, 48 hours. Actually, about 6 days out for the big one to pass by within 213,000 miles. So anyway, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Going to the calls right now. Let's go to Frank in Kentucky. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, happy birthday to Bowen.
What's that?
Oh, I am on air. Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Real quick.
What's that?
I just want to wish you happy birthday real quick.
Oh, thank you.
But besides that, all the fireballs that everybody's been seeing lately,
uh-huh.
Tonight,
uh-huh.
Even though I live out in towards the east, I can still see, like, it almost looks like a transformer, that, you know, what a transformer looks like when it blows out in the distance. It
yeah.
illuminates the sky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like that, but it's, you know, out towards the sky, you know, way out west.
Right.
And being that, you know, New Mexico is down in that area, I would assume, I could somewhat see it. But being that they travel at such a high speed, it probably would be nothing for them to cross the United States within probably a few seconds.
Well, that's just it. I mean, are we seeing the same reflections from other places, too? I mean, these things are seen. I remember there was one time I did a report on something that came down over the skies of San Francisco. And they saw there was an explosion. It was a big green light explosion, and it was seen in Reno and in Idaho. That's how big the flash was. It was seen in Reno and in Idaho as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if something, 88 stories? If something that big goes through the atmosphere, you're probably going to know about it. You know, at least it will light up a good portion of the sky.
Well, right now it'll be 213,000 miles, so that's far enough away not to hit anything of significance. But it's certainly going to be big enough to see with a telescope, and hopefully they'll be able to track its orbit so it hasn't, you know, gone off course and we're going to collide with it. I don't think we are, but in the meantime, that's the thing. Got to think about that.
Yeah, I've been outside lately, and I just have my binoculars with me, you know, just in case something goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking at the sky lately, so.
Well, hopefully, Frank, you know, like I said, I hope that at least we can see with a telescope from a very far distance. That would be a great thing.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to, my gosh. Okay, let's go to Larry, Portland, Oregon. Hi, Larry. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. Yeah, this is old Larry here. You know, you got me thinking. I got home this morning in Portland, so I live in southeast Portland,
mm-hmm.
and my wife and I was laying in bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I heard a loud bang. It resembled probably like the screen door banging against the house.
Yeah.
But we had all of our doors, you know, all of our doors were secured and everything, and my wife said, "What was that?" And I thought, "Well, it's probably the wind," but when you said 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm thinking, wow, that's the same thing we heard, I think.
Yeah, it was. At first, I thought
it sounded like.
Well, at first, I thought it was, honestly, this is what I thought it was. I thought it was a garbage truck at first dumping, you know, how they take the big dumpsters and they slam them, and they don't care who they're slamming or waking up at that hour. We have a number of businesses that are near my home. And so these big garbage trucks make it a point to show up at like 2 or 3 in the morning, dump the trash, and they make it well known that they're out there slamming it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so, but the thing is, see, I'm used to that sound, and I was thinking that maybe that's what it was, but it didn't sound like that, but I thought that's probably what it is. And with the wind blowing, I didn't know if maybe we were hearing something, you know, because I know that I was fixing me something to eat. And while I was there, I thought Janine was up, and I thought I woke her up, And because the house was creaking a little bit, I thought somebody's upstairs walking around. She's coming downstairs to see me. And what happened? No, it was just the house going creak, creak, because the wind was blowing really hard. And so then I thought it was the cat getting into something. So I went and looked to see if the cat. We just got a cat. It's a beautiful cat. About it's a very fat cat, but it's a beautiful cat named Garth. We got him, and he's been like roaming around. Like, oh, it's the cat. You know, cat got into something. I'll find out what's going on. No, it wasn't the cat. So I was like baffled. It was a rumbling sound, a weird sound. And then today, what was odd, I went to the doctor and I was downtown in downtown Portland, walked out of the doctor's. It was raining and I heard this weird, it was a jet that I'd never heard anything like it before. And what I think I was listening to is I was listening to a formation of jets flying over and I hadn't been used to hearing that. But I figured, you know, here we are in a state of alert because of Ukraine. And what's going on down there? So I was figuring, yeah, that's what that is. But, you know, it's just that every once in a while, it's either A, you've gotten used to how things are, and it's routine, and all of a sudden something comes along that's pretty, that can be logically explained, but you haven't heard it before, or something strange is happening, and you're like going, well, gosh, is that something that I should be paying attention to, or is that something that's just, you know, random or unexplained? Or, you know, it's like I don't, when I hear things or when I experience things, I don't immediately go, aliens, or I don't immediately go, oh, this is a conspiracy. I'm immediately saying, what the heck was that? And then I try to find a logical explanation for it, you know?
Yeah, well, I thought it was the wind, but it couldn't have been the wind because we had everything cured in our house. So, and when you said 1 o'clock, that's exactly the same time we heard it. So
okay.
I don't know what it was, but
I'll put that on the list.
The wind.
I'll put you on the list then, because yeah, it was around 1 o'clock, I think, because I was, you know, I was chowing on something and watching. Gosh, what show was I? I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on my computer. I usually watch a TV show or something before I go to bed, and so I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I was eating some scrambled eggs or something, and I heard something. I didn't know what it was. And then after the show was over, I thought, okay, you know, that's over. I'm going to go to bed. I didn't hear anything the rest of the night. It was just calm. I heard the wind blowing, the rain falling down.
Yeah.
It was a good sleep. But otherwise, no, I didn't know what that was.
Same with us, Clyde. I'll let you go and listen to your program every night when I'm in my truck. So,
thank you, man.
You got a great program, and you're a lighthouse to all of us, so thank you very much, Clyde.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for being out there for me, and take care. Thank you for making me number one. I really appreciate it. So, okay, we got Larry. He heard it too. Now, I want to know if anybody else did, because we do have people who say they heard explosions, or at least rumbles in Vancouver. And see, and I'm in southeast Portland. I don't know, I guess Vancouver, and it's still a far ways away from where I am. So I'm trying to understand what I heard. I'm wondering if anybody else heard at 1 o'clock. I know that there were people who saw flashes of lights, and maybe with the wind blowing, we were seeing arcs. You know, that's another thing we need to consider. We were seeing arcing. But with all the rocks and all the stuff happening in the sky, you have to also factor in that. You know, that's how you do an investigation. If it's really that important to you. I think it's important to me because I just want to know what the hell's going on. I'm curious, truly, truly curious. Especially with that big one out there waiting for us. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101. This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Let's go to Scott. Actually, you know, let's go to Marty in Hawaii, and we'll go to Scott. Marty in Hawaii, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. Yeah, I'm living on Maui here, and from my house, I looked at two islands, Molokai and I, but I'm calling about on Mount Haleakala, which is the high point here. It's over 10,000 feet. We have an Air Force observatory up there, and it was placed up there during the Strategic Defense Initiative, or Star Wars, mm-hmm. and it uses a laser as a tracking device, and one day a month it's devoted to the NEAR project, which gives you your PHA number. And I've been following that since the number was around 300, and I'm sure we're treble that now of known PHAs.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is we finally got above that 10% estimate. You know, forever they said, well, we think we know where 10% of them are at. And that was kind of discouraging when you realize we live on a cosmic billiard table. But this observatory has a laser on it, and it's really fascinating. I drive up there because it's the only place on Earth where you can drive from sea level to over 10,000 feet in 30 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And every night, this reflective metal shroud that's around this laser drops down and exposes the laser, and it looks just like one that would be out of Flash Gordon. I mean, exactly, with the sphere on one end and then the pointy part with the concentric circles going. It really looks just like a Flash Gordon laser. And I've had, it's managed by Raytheon and then Lockheed Martin. There's other defense contractors that get the, I guess, the managing contract for that facility from time to time, but they still have to devote a day a month to NEAR. And people know that I follow this stuff. And they ask me, and it's certainly with this thing coming up, I'm going to get people talking to me tomorrow asking me, are we in danger? Mm-hmm. And they don't ask me, are we in danger of getting hit, because we're such a minuscule target land-wide. But people say, well, what if one hits near us, won't we get swamped by a massive tidal wave? And I have to tell them, a six-foot wave breaks in 9 feet of water. So in order for a 600-foot tidal wave to hit us, it would have to break in 900 feet of water. And since from here, my house to Lanai, the water is only 250 foot deep, that means that there would be no water there, and which means that a wave of that size would break tens of miles out to sea and then would wash up and fill that void that had been where all that water had been sucked out mm-hmm. in approach of the oncoming tsunami. But on the other hand, if I got up and looked out and thought it would be a good day to walk over to Lanai, it would be a good idea not to drive down near the shoreline. And, you know, that holds true, that hydrodynamics around the world. And it's 80 or 90% of the world's population live within just a couple miles of shorelines all around the world. And that leaves a void for the other 10 or 20% of the people to fill.
Mm-hmm.
So the Earth is barren, as you pointed out earlier on. A lot of the Earth is barren of people. And so I love P.J. O'Rourke's book, All the Trouble in the World. He said you could fit everybody in the world with the population density of Manhattan into Texas, and there wouldn't be a single soul on the rest of the Earth. And he goes on to explain different scenarios, like you could put everybody in Alaska in a suburb-type home like they have in Los Angeles with a swimming pool and a three-bedroom home for everybody on a 7,000-square-foot lot, and the rest of the world would be void of people.
If you can put 28 million people in a city the size of, in a city the size of Portland, Oregon, or Oregon State, rather, Buenos Aires, 28 million people live in the city alone. I mean, that's a lot of people for a small city, you know, and it's because...
Yeah, that leaves a lot of open space for these things to land in, but...
I mean, because they build on top of each other.
If that one in the Urals, if it was 1,000 miles further west, instead of 1,200 people going to the hospital, it would have been 120,000 easily going to the hospital.
Well, have you looked into this one that just hit Siberia, or are you still trying to find out information on that one?
I'm talking about the one.
I know what you're talking about. I'm just asking you. You heard about what happened this morning, right?
No, I didn't.
Another one exploded. Another one exploded over Siberia.
Oh, great. I can't wait to go on Space Weather and the other sites I look at before I go to bed.
In fact, if you go to my Facebook page and look at the posts, you'll see that the video, it's basically someone had taken a video of the video cam that had that caught it, and there's one that's grainy that looks like I said, like X-ray vision or X-ray light that explodes. But then there's one.
I heard you say that.
There's one with like six video cams, and when they get hit, it just looks like a bomb's gone off.
Well, it's exciting, and I spend a lot of time looking up, and evenings looking up, and it's, you know, the reason they put that Air Force Observatory on Haleakala for the Star Wars is that for Russia or China to launch a satellite into geosynchronous orbit, the satellite has to go directly over Haleakala, not over Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa, or Oahu. It has to go directly over Haleakala, and that's why they put that laser up there. And that laser can track a 6-inch object 30,000 miles away, moving at phenomenal velocity.
Right.
And I've heard from sane people who I trust tell me that they've seen that thing actually shoot satellites out of the sky when they were camping in the crater. Now, I've never seen anything like that, and I've observed it many nights. But they do calibrate it from time to time. They shoot the laser from the top of Haleakala down to the Research and Technology Park at the base of the mountain where there's a Cray computer and a bunch of other facilities there. And I always wondered about that because it's sort of, you know, only a quarter mile away from some suburbs. You know, if someone accidentally elbowed that thing or stepped on the wrong foot pedal, that laser would go right through some neighborhoods. And
right.
I don't know what it would do, but...
Honey, I got a hole in my gut. What do you think that was?
I don't know, but, you know, if these people, it's more than one who's told me they've seen it shoot satellites out of the sky. If it can, in fact, do that, you wouldn't want that thing blazing through your neighborhood. That's for darn sure.
But, honey, why is it I'm just a torso? Is there a reason? I think our sex life is going to be a little bit hard to deal with in a couple days because I just don't have a torso anymore.
A few toes here. I can't figure what the heck happened.
What happened? I got nubs for feet. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Marty, I thank you for the call, buddy. Thank you
all
for calling,
man.
Dude.
Hey, thanks for getting. I'm so tired of Kerry, Putin, McCain, Ukraine. Although it's a serious matter, I'm glad that you moved away from it for a night. Give me a break.
What was it? Four shows? Thanks. I did four freaking shows, dude. That's a record. Four
you
shows.
Covered it, you covered it well, and as usual, I love your perspective on those things. Because,
thank you.
They're not always as they appear to be. Isn't
and you know what's hilarious, Barney? True. One thing before I let you go. You know what? I started talking about Ukraine on February 20th, and then I basically patterned it, so I talk about it. But then when it got heated, I did three shows. So that's four shows on the subject.
Well, you know, you started off this show appropriately because I learned a long time ago to not watch the right hand. When you're watching the right hand, you got to pay attention what the left hand is doing.
That's amazing. That's true. Marty, hey, I got to run out of time. Take care, buddy. Thank you so much for your call.
Thanks.
You bet. Bye-bye. Honey, something's missing here. I got no nipples. What?
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
This one will miss us by about 15 minutes. 15 minutes difference, and that's it. So this is some really serious business. It's coming closer than the satellites that are providing the broadcast around the country and around the world right now. It is something to think about. It is something to think about.
What was that?
It's not quite Armageddon, but it is massive, frightening, and getting closer by the hour. It's named DA-14, and it weighs 130,000 metric tons, more than a cruise ship.
Sequence starts, and it's getting closer. 6, 5, 4, 3, Ignition. Ignition. We have flame and a great deal of smoke coming out of the bottom of that rocket. 8.9 seconds of the hole still. Now it's moving. It is coming toward the top of the tower now. Flame belching out all around it. Now the deluge system is trying to cool it down. Millions of gallons of water pouring out of it. Here comes the sound.
If that doesn't impress you, it's half the size of a football field. And it's whizzing through space 8 times faster than a bullet fired from a gun. Will come within 17,000 miles of the Earth tomorrow at astronomically close shade.
We've had a lot of astronomically close shaves. Love how we use the astronomical word. Once again, I know how that feels. You think you're the clever guy in the newsroom. That's right. 888-673-3700. At 888-673-3700. I think it's Scott in Gresham, Oregon.
Hey,
Scott. What's up, man?
Can you hear me, my friend?
I can.
Oh, man. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
So, last night, we see this. It almost felt like a transformer blew.
Yeah.
Or it sounded like it to me. You know, I mean, the sky turned like Aurora Borealis.
Mm-hmm.
Blue, green. I mean, does that sound right to you, or what, am I out of my mind?
No, what time did it happen?
About 12:45, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's exactly when I heard it.
I
didn't see a flash, and I didn't know.
I'm always up at that time. Anyway.
I know we don't have thunderstorms here that often. I remember one night.
No.
I was in bed, and I heard thunder, and I'm like, whoa, we're having a thunderstorm. We don't have them here.
But the boom, though, was there a boom?
Yeah, this was a boom, but it didn't sound like a natural boom. It sounded like...
Not like a sonic boom.
No, it sounded weird.
It was.
And it made me feel a little sick when I heard it. Because that's what
Tell
I was
me
going.
What you think about this, my friend.
Yeah, okay.
You're very smart. So,
mm-hmm.
Don't you know that when you're flicking through the channels nowadays,
mm-hmm.
You see UFO files, ancient aliens, this and that. Don't you think that's an indoctrination? Like, the powers that be
mm-hmm.
are desensitizing us?
Oh, yeah. I'd say yes.
The idea of aliens is not so far-fetched now.
Well, the idea of ancient aliens, the idea that aliens are our gods.
I mean, if aliens came,
yeah.
I don't think that humanity would be in uproar and a panic about it.
No, not really.
Like, you know, what the biggest worry was with whatever that deal is, you know, if humanity found out that there was aliens,
yes.
We would freak out and we'd revolt and have a riot. But it seems like we're being indoctrinated into the idea. I mean, how could you think there's not aliens? With the universe being so big, with the Earth only being 4.8 billion years old, but the universe being 14 point something billion
Scott,
years old.
Scott, when I'm told that I have to bow my head and pray to a God that lives out in heaven,
yeah.
that tells me something.
Exactly.
I mean, if there's somebody that I'm praying to that lives out in the sky somewhere, that makes him an extraterrestrial, doesn't it?
Absolutely, sir. You're right on.
He doesn't live here. He doesn't live here.
No.
But then I get told, but you know what I get told when I get told that? Because nobody wants to hear that God's an extraterrestrial.
Nobody does.
They say he doesn't live out there. He lives in your heart.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You got to have faith, buddy. You got to have faith.
Yeah. But well, I don't know.
Any kind of a rational person, and you think about the timeline,
mm-hmm.
You know, humanity's been on this earth for what? 200,000 years? That's nothing.
Yeah.
In the spectrum of things, that's nothing. Think about what are we going to be in 100 years? What is humanity? What is, if we don't end up being destroyed by, you know, that comet that's coming for us, which God knows what's going to happen with that. But
well, see, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen in 100 years. I'm going to be sitting here doing this show.
Opportunity to grow.
I'm going to be sitting here doing this show, and then somebody's going to come and tap me on the shoulder and say, you know, I think it's about time you shut up.
Time to go.
Yeah.
Just, you know, if we somehow were able to figure out mm-hmm. how to, you know, work as a singular unit, you know, like the whole Earth, mm-hmm. and if we found out there was other life, maybe everybody would be like, okay, well, it's not just us here on this Earth. And especially if we were attacked by an alien.
Well, Scott, have you ever read...
what would happen then?
Have you ever read Childhood...
We'd be working with Al-Qaeda. We'd be working with everybody.
Have you read...
The whole Earth against that alien.
Have you read Childhood's End?
Yes, I actually have.
Now, remember what happened when they found out there were aliens. There was no science. There was no religion because everybody wanted to find out more about the aliens.
Exactly.
Everybody wanted to worship the aliens. And they had to reprogram people to accept them because they didn't look like, let's just say they had a little bit of a problem with their image.
Survival, though.
Yeah, they had a little problem. They had a little problem with their image. They had a face that, I don't know, looked kind of like...
Satan! Are coming to this point, and it seems like things are happening so much faster now. Everything's unraveling. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel it. I don't know. It's weird.
All right, man.
We got this shit, blue lights, booms. I mean, I'm living here. I have a family. I love your show, but it's just like criminy, you know?
It's a weird world, Scott. It's a weird world.
I got a boy coming, you know, in like June, you know? I got another son coming to this earth, and I'm happy for that. But
damn, that's cool.
I'm scared, too.
That's cool. You know, if it's a boy or a girl, son?
It's a boy. We found out. I got two girls, so it was a very happy day for me.
Well, good for you, buddy. Good for you. Yep. I'm glad you're gonna have a son coming to the world. I got to run, man, but I appreciate you calling.
Yep.
Thank you so much for calling.
Good fight, brother. You're doing great.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Joe, Portland, Oregon. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
I love your show, and what you're doing is wonderful because there's no one else out there that's speaking the truth like you are.
Thank you.
And I wanted to mention about the. Noise last night around 1 o'clock. I'm over here in southeast Portland, and I heard this groaning noise that lasted, and it sounded like 5 or 6 jets, maybe, but they didn't sound like it was moving.
Yeah.
It sounded like they were just sitting and more roaring their engines or whatever they were doing.
Yeah, it was something bizarre. I had never heard anything like it before.
It was quite something, and... Mm-hmm. I just thought I'd share that with you and tell you how much I love your show.
Been Thank you, man.
I've been doing it for almost 3 years.
Wow.
And, and I've tried to call before, but most of the time you have very intelligent callers, and I'd rather listen to them than hear my own voice.
Well, your own voice is good, too. Thanks for calling in the program, Joe. I really appreciate it, man.
You have a wonderful evening and keep up the good work.
Thank you, buddy. You have a good evening, too. Take care. Let's go to Kim Quickly in Kaiser. Kim, what's up?
Hey, yeah, I'm a fairly new listener, but my boyfriend's been listening to your show since 2009.
So what did he do?
Kim,
did he put a gun to your head? Tell me the truth. Did he twist your arm? Did he?
No. Oh. No, not at all.
you're so sweet. I'm glad. Because I know that sometimes... Women have a hard time with their boyfriends who listen to Ground Zero because what they do is they sit in the car for a long period of time and they don't leave. And so they're wondering, what the hell is he doing in the car? And they're listening to my show.
We listen to it together, but.
Oh, that's always good.
I was listening one time, it's a while ago, and there was some guy, I don't remember where he's from. But he had an accent, and he was talking about the wheels on his truck, but he kept saying, the whales on my truck, and I was laughing so hard, and I became a listener after that. That was so funny.
You know what the best thing that ever
happened, Kim,
you know what the best thing that ever happened to my show was? One time I was doing a show about werewolves, and somebody told me they're out in St. John's sitting at the Walgreens, and they said they saw some werewolf jump out of the bushes and ate a cat. And I thought it would make a great T-shirt. I'm listening to Ground Zero, and I just saw a werewolf jump out of the bushes in St. John's near the Walgreens eating a cat. It was a great call. I couldn't believe it.
That would be...
So, Kim, I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead and talk. I'll just shut up. Go ahead.
Hey, they told me to make it fast and quick, and you're the one that's, like, talking. So
I'm just glad that you're on the phone with me. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll shut my damn mouth right now. Listen to me. Okay, I'm shutting up. See?
Okay. So we were listening to your show last night, and then we turned it off. And we were laying there, and we were down in the basement. I actually have an actual basement in my house. I know that's unreal around here, but we were laying there, and the wind was just going crazy, and I have wind chimes all over the place. And then all of a sudden, there was this bright light. It was the green blue. And then there, I'm not so much of a sound, I don't think, that I heard, but I saw the light. And my boyfriend's like, did you see that? And I was like, yeah. And then our electricity went out, and then it got it was silent. And I was like, do you hear that? And not one wind chime. I've got about 15 or 20 wind chimes all over the place. Not a sound at all. So.
Wow. That sounds.
It was about 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. I started around that time too. I'm wondering what the hell it was. I thought it was the cat. But then again, after it happened, I felt a little sick to my stomach and I thought, you know, now's the time I need to go to bed. I can't stay up any longer. I'm going to go hide under the covers and go right to bed. And that's what I did. And you know what I did, too? Well, I did something I hadn't done in a long time. I made sure that all the sheets were tucked in and all the bedspreads and the duvet was tucked in. Why? Because I didn't want those little silver faces that press up against the window crawling in through the pane and getting into my bed with me.
I'm not worried about that. I got a big old dog.
I got a cat. I don't think a cat's going to be anything if an alien comes swooping into my room and wants to basically use me as a probe magnet. I don't think that's going to happen.
I've got a mastiff and a lab, so I think I'm set.
So you're protected from aliens and any other boogeyman, huh?
That's right.
That's good to hear. Right. That's good to hear. All right, Kim. Hey, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening, and thank you for doing it without your boyfriend, you know, coercing you into doing it.
No, it was my pleasure. I was really glad he introduced me to the show. So just keep doing what you're doing, and I'll keep listening.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Good night. I love it when the Ground Zero becomes a family affair. Boyfriend, girlfriend, kids, dogs, grandmother. Yeah, that's why I like it. We'll keep Portland weird that way. Keeping the family. We're back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL. More with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Having discussions with my producer about volcanoes. Whether or not Mount Tabor was erupting last night. Or whether or not Mount Hood had a seismic thump. You know what? I'm not kidding you. I was at, what was that mount called? Oh my God. What was that? Okay, there's Mount Scott, there's Mount Tabor. And what's the other mount area there where you can see Mount Hood? It's a place where you go hiking. I don't even know the place. I went there one time in my life. One time. We got up to the top. It was a small hike to the top of this little mountain area. And, you know, Matterhorn. I don't know. No, it's this mountain, right? And we were up there, and all of a sudden I hear this, boom. And then I hear, boom. And I'm thinking, what the hell is that noise? And somebody told me that every once in a while, Mount Hood, you can hear it go, boom, like it's like magma is going boom, boom. It's kind of like the heartbeat of Oregon. Yeah. 888-673-3700. We go to Wade in McMinnville. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead, Wade.
Hey. Well, you can add me to the list. Last night, I was in my room just watching TV and. About one-ish, I hear a bang, and loud enough for me to notice it, and I mute my TV, you know, and I'm kind of listening, and I live next to the airport out here, and I'm pretty used to hearing things, but it was, you know, out of the norm, but I just kind of brushed it off, just like everybody else is saying, but now that I'm listening to the show, and I hear all this 1 o'clock stuff, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, around that time. Yeah, see? I think a lot of people probably heard it, or they felt it, or something, and you know, I don't hear of any earthquake. I remember one time I heard a rumble once or a thud, and I lived in an apartment over in the Corbett Twilliger area, and I thought, what was that? It felt like dynamite went off. Come to find out, there was a 2.3 earthquake that happened in Midtown. 2.3 earthquake. It felt like a bomb went off. And it was, oh, you just had a 2.3 earthquake. I go, is that what an earthquake feels like? I've had earthquakes. I felt earthquakes before here. In fact, I was here for the Nisqually quake, where I was sitting in an office building downtown, and I noticed the big pink was kind of like tilting to one side. And I was thinking, what the hell is going on with that big building? Is it going to topple over? And all of a sudden, it was like a blanket going blah, blah. And all of a sudden, blah, blah. I'm just shaking. I'm going, earthquake! And I'm in a 12-story building. So I ran down the stairs. I was so scared. I ran down the stairs and ran back outside. And I was so pumped up that I ran up 12 flights of stairs back to post on my Facebook. Not Facebook. It was post on a blog that I had. And I said, we just had an earthquake. It was a 6.0. And it didn't do any damage, but it certainly was fun. I don't want an earthquake to happen again, though. They're kind of creepy. They make you feel kind of weird afterwards. So.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right.
What's that?
I said, yeah, it doesn't feel right.
No, something's wrong if the ground that you're stepping on is kind of wobbly. That's not good at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, Wade, thank you for the call. Thank you for reporting that to us. Let's go to Kim in Longview, Texas. What's going on, man?
Actually, it's ma'am, and it's Kim. Hi.
Oh, I said, okay, hello, ma'am. Or I'll just say, hi, Kim.
That's okay.
You got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Look, you might be interested in something, because at the beginning of the show, you were wondering about whether or not the government would let us know if something big was coming at us.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's this guy who wrote this series of books, and he starts off with the U.S. detecting this big one they classify as an ELE.
Yeah.
And they opt not to tell anybody anything, and it's years before it's going to reach Earth.
Yeah,
and they end up building arcs. The United States built a giant space station. China built a giant space station. The Russians build underneath Ural Mountain several miles down and build a whole cavernous area under there. And they each pick certain kinds of people to place in each one of these arcs.
Well, I guess,
in order to save the best, the brightest, the youngest, until Earth can get back on its feet again, right. They'll be young enough to start a new life on Earth. And the United States government, for the people that knew about it in the beginning, call themselves the inner circle and hide it from the rest of the people.
You know what I always thought? You know what, Kim? I got to tell you something before we go, because we're running out of time. I always thought it'd be kind of boring just to have all the smart and good-looking people on the ark. Why don't they bring stupid people and other people that we can have entertain us? I don't understand, because I like people that are just normal salt of the earth people. You know, they don't have to be too smart. They just have to be people that I can love and hug and say, God, you make me laugh and make me smile. I got to run. Have a great night.
FM News 101 KXL.
Do you consistently toss and turn at night? The Nightwave Sleep Assistant is a drug-free alternative for those who have trouble falling asleep. More than 50,000 people have seen how Nightwave naturally quiets the mind and relaxes the body to help them get the rest they desire. Visit Nightwave.com and try it for yourself. Enter coupon code RADIO to receive $10 off your order. You have nothing to lose.